This is the MJ Morning Show Podcast. Initiate procedure. Okay, the MJ Radio Network. We are go.
Now, stand by for the MJ Morning Show.
Why am I starting with that? Anybody? Anybody?
You have a serious answer, so I'll pass.
What?
I mean, I know why.
Well, right? Yeah, tell me why. Why
is there's a game tonight.
Yes,
a lightning game.
Yes, there is. And
it's do or die.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
Rock says, I have a serious answer, so I'll just recuse myself for now. The serious answer is game five tonight in Toronto.
What was the unserious answer? I mean, there was only one correct answer in my book.
One of us is going to go buy a Mega Millions ticket and hope they're going to win the millions, but they're more likely to get struck by lightning.
Tell you what, my question yesterday that I brought up, man, that just spurred a whole lot of response. And if you missed it, welcome, folks, by the way. MJ here, Roxanne, Froggy, Fester. You got the MJ Morning Show here on Q105, 602, just getting rolling here on a Thursday. Obviously, we had the big announcement yesterday. The huge big announcement is we're doubling the fun. We are going to give away 40 Microsoft Surface Pro 8 tablets. And this is my main computer these days. I use it every single day. I love it. I'm a regular, like, laptop convertee, whereas I've got the Microsoft Surface tablet with the, you know, the magnetic snap-on keypad and case, and I love the thing. So keep listening. In the coming days, we'll narrow down additional details exactly when the contest is going to start, but we're giving away 40 of these things. 40 instead of 1 week of 20 tablets every hour, every day, 6, 7, 8, 9 o'clock hours. We're going to expand that to 2 weeks. So 2 weeks of solid tablets every hour for 2 weeks during the morning show. Somebody, some listener is going to win. It's enormous. It's massive. So details on that will continue and it will start in the not so distant future. And if you go to my Instagram, if you go to Certified MJ Radio, go to my Instagram. I took a picture of all 40 tablets right behind me on the credenza. Yeah, we've got a regular piece of furniture. We just got a credenza here in the studio. Some old credenza.
How did we even get that awkward piece of furniture just randomly?
Who the hell? Oh, you know what? It was down in the storage room, and there's not enough counter space in here. You know, the studio is the worst we've ever worked in my entire career. And we just found some old piece of furniture in the junk room that they have downstairs.
It's a nice piece.
Yeah, it's lovely. It's fantastic. It'd be $12 at Goodwill.
Do we have the Q105 thrift store downstairs?
That's what it seems, yeah.
Because we could use a couch in the office. Yeah. I'm just saying.
I think we have all kinds of crap. Anyway, so where was I? Oh, the
lightning!
No, you had mentioned Powerball.
Oh, your lottery question.
And I had posted a picture on my Instagram. Again, folks, you ought to be following me, Certified MJ Radio. If you're not following me on Instagram, give me a follow, Certified MJ Radio. I posted a picture in downtown. It's the one you see off 275 northbound as you go through downtown. There's that lottery billboard that has the value of Mega Millions, and then it has the value of Powerball, and it was at 26 million and 37 million the other night, and I think there was a drawing for one of them last night. I lose track. Maybe it was what, Powerball last night? Whatever. Yeah. I lose track of the days. But anyway, I had asked the question, what if you finally beat the odds and you won either Mega Millions or Powerball? And the odds are astronomical, obviously, to win. What if you did win and the lottery jackpot for your winning was on the extreme low end instead of like hundreds of millions of dollars or $1 billion? Like, you know, that guy Edwin Castro out in California won $2 billion.
It's almost too much money.
No.
So I asked the question, would you be kind of, would it suck if you finally hit one of these hard to win, almost impossible or impossible to win jackpots, and it was on the low, low, like almost lowest end possible?
Maybe it wouldn't suck because anyone who has to borrow money would be like, no, I didn't win as much as you think. Trust me.
Anyway,
I only won $26 million. Yeah. I'm sorry, I can't loan you $50.
I thought it was an interesting philosophical question, and the bulk of the responses on my Instagram questioning and then also on the show yesterday, the bulk was, nope, they'll take it. they'll take anything. And I was not offering up my opinion. I was just asking a question. That's all I was asking. All right, so we're just getting rolling here. It's a busy morning. Roxanne, you sent me a video while driving.
Yeah, I did. And which, I knew you were going to tell on me for videoing and driving, but it's one click of the button.
All right, you sent me a video while you were driving. You're narrating, but I have no idea what the heck you're saying. And part of that is because of the Apple Android disconnect. So hold on.
Lack of compatibility.
Would you do me a favor? Mm-hmm. Would you explain to me what you sent? I got digital diarrhea is what I got.
Okay.
So
yeah, every time you send videos, it is kind of like, it's like small and garbly.
Yeah, hang on. We'll get into this next. It's just like, it's a digital incompatibility, which I can't believe in 2023, they can't figure this crap out. All right, hold on. I want to know exactly what you were, you did like a 10 second video and you're narrating and you're trying to tell me a story. I have no idea what you're telling me. All right, hold on. I need Roxanne to clarify that next on the MJ Morning Show on Q105.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
MJ Morning Show, Q105, 619. Hey, folks, Thursday morning, NFL draft tonight for the Bucks. I thought I said we were like number 17 yesterday. I think we go 19th. So 19th tonight is what I saw online last night.
I'm not watching that.
And then, of course, Lightning do or die in Toronto tonight. With the Leafs, so man, home ice over there. We'll see. Lightning possibly eliminated in round one. Let's hit up Roxanne for an explanation on this video. Now, did you send this video to anyone else or
no, just you?
Just me.
Yeah.
Well,
it was a question just for you.
Here's the problem. I have Android. So Roxanne, Fester, and Froggy, they're Apple. So you guys are using iPhones. You're all sucked into the Apple cult, all right? So I'm Android. So whenever they send me a video clip, it appears on my phone the size of a postage stamp, and the video quality sucks. The audio quality sucks, and I have no idea what the heck's going on.
Wait, I have an iPhone, too, and the videos I get from Roxanne don't look good either.
I'll tell you why, because when I send them to the group.
Yeah, if she sent it to us individually, we'd have a different resolution.
All right, all these technical problems, all these flaws. You're telling me they can't fix it? All right, so Roxanne, I have no idea what you sent me. All I know is that you were driving, you're holding your phone, you're videoing. Were you on the Howard Franklin Bridge?
No, I was on the Veterans.
Veterans, all right.
All I did, I clicked this one button, this photo button right here, get to the video page, and I just was like talking to my phone. MJ, what do you think of this? My question.
All right, so you sent me a video, and you're asking me a question?
Yes.
You've got a question about the road?
No, a question about a police officer on the road.
Oh, okay.
And so he was in front of me online.
What type of police officer?
My guess is I was behind him, but he was in a, SUV.
Did it say sheriff?
I wasn't next to it. I was behind it.
Yeah, but
was it like the City of Tampa Explorers?
I think it was the city.
That
yes.
They use, or was it the?
There you go.
The more suburban-y looking
the Tahoe or
the Tahoes? Yeah.
You guys get into your car details. Look that
Ford
closely.
Ford and Chevy. There's a little bit of a difference there. You know,
we're here for facts. Yeah. In case you didn't know, MJ and I are hard newsmen.
Yes, hard newsmen and hard car men.
All right, so you've got a police officer SUV in front of you. You're not quite sure the agency or the make and model.
Exactly. This is all I want to know. It's a very simple question.
Yes.
Why did he or she put on their lights, not like they're going to pull someone over lights, not with a siren, but put on their lights just leaving the car illuminated blue and red from the time the car got onto the veterans until it got off at, let's say, like
all
Memorial.
Right. All right.
So they left them on the whole time, but they weren't
flashing.
It wasn't like a little blip here and there, because I've seen the little blips. We've talked
blipping,
about those.
So no blip.
No blip.
No
blip. Just a solid.
You've given me enough information now.
And then I said in the video, I was like, I know you have friends. Ask your friends.
I don't need to ask my friends.
You've
given enough information, and I believe that I can answer your question right now with any further investigation. It is my belief that you were behind a Hillsborough County deputy sheriff, and it was described to me as a pilot program maybe like 8 months ago or maybe more. And they were testing out when the deputies ride around to be able to identify that they're police. So they're leaving the red and blues on, not flashing. They just leave them illuminated so you can identify that it is a police car. And that will that potentially reduce crime in an area if they're driving around with greater visibility? So that's all part of what was described to me. So I believe you saw a Hillsborough County deputy sheriff Chevy Tahoe, whatever the model is.
Yeah, and maybe he was trying to reduce speed on the veterans.
No, he's not.
Well, I'm telling you, everybody was driving 5 to 10 miles under the speed limit.
That's not part of the
surrounding him.
That's not part of the plan. They're not trying to make you reduce speed. It's just a lot of the units are leaving the lights on for visibility purposes. And it was described to me as a pilot program or a little test program to see if there would be any benefits to doing that. But no, the lights were not on to slow down Roxanne.
I wasn't asking
from driving 112 miles an hour on the veterans on the way to work because you're running
late. All right, but listen.
It turns into that. It degrades into that.
If the sheriff's department is keeping their bar illuminated, naturally they're going to slow down traffic around them. The same way you may not.
You don't need to leave the light on. Anytime people spot a police car, it's hysterical. For instance, when I roll into work, it's usually at least once, sometimes twice a week, sometimes it's more, that there is a Pinellas County, and I think she's a female deputy sheriff. So there's a Pinellas County deputy sheriff that we're kind of in sync with on the way to work. So she's clearly, she's driving from Hillsborough County. So this female Pinellas County deputy driving again, one of those, you know, big Chevy SUVs.
I told you that person lives in my neighborhood.
Oh, you sure?
Yeah. Because I've left at the same time as them. I'm like, oh my God.
Oh, well, there you go.
And then we went on the bridge together.
Apparently in town and country.
And Froggy refused to pass him.
Yeah.
Well, here's the deal. I see it all the time. And I'll get on 275. I'll get on the Howard Franklin Bridge. And then I'll see this Pinellas County deputy in the SUV, and she's a tool. And the one that I've seen, because I've seen the deputy actually assisting on an accident on the bridge, so I've seen that it was a female. And there are probably more that live in Hillsborough as well that take their vehicles home and drive to work. But I have seen cars like race by me and then suddenly see the Pinellas County sheriff's vehicle and then jam on their brakes and then all the cars hang. So the lights don't have to be on. As soon as someone spots a police vehicle, they slow down.
Right, but with the lights on, you see them a mile away.
But they're not going to pull you over in Hillsborough County. Now, technically, I think if they, you know, because midway through the bridge, you enter Pinellas County, I guess they could pull you over at that point. But again, I don't think I play games you know, occasionally.
I think I heard that if a law enforcement officer saw something terribly egregious,
oh, yeah.
even outside of their jurisdiction.
Anywhere in the state,
they'll
sure.
stop you yeah. to slow you down or to pull you over and right. then call in the appropriate jurisdiction. It's not like the Dukes of Hazzard where you're racing for the county line.
Like, I've know. Seen, like, a Plant City police car on the bridge. I've seen, like Lee County on the bridge.
They,
like,
they do business. They
right,
can, yeah.
exactly. And I blow by them at 100.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah,
no,
I'm kidding. I'm joking.
I roll down my window at the Plant City police. Hey, strawberry boy!
But hopefully that answers your question.
Yeah.
That
And Bill from Tampa says you're correct. Hillsborough drives with their lights
oh,
on.
Oh,
well,
yeah. thanks,
We're
Bill.
We're getting some yeah, that know, affirmations.
Started last year, I think. It started like last summer, last early fall. I remember having a conversation and have it explained. What are you grumbling?
I don't like it. I like my cops.
Hey, Froggy, am I right or wrong? Or does Fester make these like involuntary grumbling noises all the time now?
I think they're voluntary, actually.
I mean, they're voluntary. I mean, I have complete control over them.
What does it sound like to you, Froggy?
Okay. I want my cops to shut the lights off and be sneaky. I want to go back to like policing 2021 style. I don't want to know the cops are around.
You want sneaky police.
I want sneaky police. I want to be surprised when Traps. I see him on the highway.
All right. Any other questions for me this morning,
no,
Roxanne?
No, that was pretty much it.
All right, well, I'm glad we were able to help you out with that particular matter.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Hey, the big announcement. I've had enormous feedback. Do you know I've actually, a couple of people complained.
Yeah,
they're always going to be complainers.
I mean, what the hell? So if you're just tuning in, the big announcement yesterday, and if you only get to listen during this time period, then you miss the announcement at 7:30, unless you go back and check out the podcast or you watch MJTV, watch a replay on YouTube, then you miss the announcement. So for those that are listening right now, the big announcement was very soon we're going to roll out Tablet Tag again, and we are going to give away not 20 Microsoft Surface Pro 8 tablets. We're doubling the deal to 40. Come on, no one does this. No one. 40 tablets every single hour for 2 weeks straight during the MJ Morning Show? We're talking Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. 6, 7, 8, and 9 o'clock hours, giving away a tablet every hour for 2 weeks straight. Tell me who the hell has ever done this before? No one. And again, 99% of the feedback that I saw was very positive. But I checked like our MJ Morning Show Facebook comments.
Yeah.
And even on my Instagram comments, there were a couple of grumblers. I thought it was Fester leaving all these messages.
I don't have that much time.
Big deal.
I think this is a fantastic announcement. I'm looking forward to the giveaway.
Someone said, "Oh, I thought it was going to be bigger than that. I'm disappointed." What do you want? What the hell do you want? Give away 40 freaking tablets that retailed for like $1,200 a piece.
I thought it was going to be bigger.
I want some RVs.
I didn't think you'd be giving out $50,000 worth of prizes over the course of 2 weeks.
Again, most people were happy. And for those that are listening now, coming soon, we just kind of dropped the bomb. We're doing Tablet Tag, but we've doubled it. We're giving away 40 tablets, and it's coming soon. Just keep listening for the exact start date in the very near future here on the MJ Morning Show on Q105. All right, I've got a pretty good pile of the early morons in the news. We'll get to that next here on the MJ Morning Show on Q105. Stand by.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
What's her name?
Barbara Streisand.
Thank you. All right, here we go. Time for the early morons in the news. You know, Fester, there was one story that was RV related that I've been holding on for a while, too. And I had it in a pile, and I kind of lost track of it.
Okay.
And then I was kind of going through my piles last night.
You found it?
And I found it.
Good, okay.
I'm like, you know what? Before I forget any further on this particular thing, I'm just going to bring it up right off the bat.
You're pile picking.
Yes, I was. So, 6:40 now, MJ Morning Show here on Q105. Welcome. We appreciate you listening. And it is time for the morons of the news. So, the story that I saw, a family wants to see, it's funny. A family wants to see a suspect behind bars after their RV was converted into a meth lab.
All right.
How does that happen when, wait a minute.
Was it stolen?
Yeah.
Well, let me give you the details.
Was it purchased from them and then they turned like Walter White did?
It was a stolen RV. Just listen. Right. Don't let me do the story.
I'm asking questions.
Oh, hold on a minute. I'm going to answer all your questions. The family of a stolen RV is asking police to put the suspect behind bars. Isn't that kind of the way things work?
Yeah.
You know, you steal it. We're not sure. You know, eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Stolen RV. Well, here's the deal. The family had their RV stolen. They want the police out in Colorado to put the suspect behind bars, which I think would be pretty much standard procedure.
Yeah, it's not too much to ask.
The name of the family, the Sundrups. So it's the Sundrup family. So the Sundrups told CBS in Denver that they have a good idea about who the suspect is, thanks to pictures from viewers and information from another department, the Lakewood, Colorado Police Department, right? They apparently arrested the suspect initially in connection with another auto theft incident. The Sundrups said the same suspect could be the person who stole their motorhome. The family is asking for that suspect to be behind bars. They said, we first brought you the details to, I guess, their local police department, then I guess the Lakewood Police Department. So Jeff Sundrup and his family contacted the police, and they were asking the community, I think on social media, hey, can you help us please find our stolen luxury RV? To have to get rid of that motorhome, it's just heartbreaking.
Sure.
Jeff said he was very upset. You know, listen, people become very attached to their motorhomes. And he said, we did have some people in, you know, outlying areas and places around where they live reach out after they saw a news report. So they went to local news as well. They got some coverage on local news. They did all kinds of social media posts. I think they even put flyers around, like, you know, people put missing dog flyers. Yeah. I think they put missing RV flyers, around.
It's very effective.
They took pictures and put them around. Anyway, so people started responding. And some folks got back to them and said, hey, I think we've got a tip. Now, it's one of these expensive bus-like RVs. Let me show you the RV. Oh, Fester, you've got it.
Fester, how much would that cost?
What is that?
Give us the deets, Fest.
Is that a Prevo?
What is that? Prevo is like built on a bus frame. This is built on probably a Freightliner chassis or something. It looks like maybe a Tiffin paint scheme on the side.
Is that expensive?
I mean, expensive is a relative term around here, sir.
And of course, folks, if you don't know, Fester, after we wrapped up the MJ Morning Show the first time around in 2012, Fester went into the RV business, and Fester continues to make his real money at General RV. That's, you know, where Fester works.
So, it's maybe a $300,000 RV, $400,000 RV.
Well, the Sundrups love this thing. It was ripped off, and then it was converted into a meth lab, apparently.
Yeah, I think I have some audio from Mr. Sundrup? CBS Colorado interviewed him.
Yeah, go ahead. Bring it up. Let me hear it.
The motorhome is just heartbreaking.
We first brought you the story in early March when the family was asking for the community's help in locating their luxury RV home.
See?
We did have some people in Park County reach out to us.
Look at that.
After they saw one of your news reports, they told us that the people that stole it came in and asked for water to fill the water tanks up. They took pictures. They were suspicious.
A week later, the vehicle was recovered at the storage facility in Englewood.
Yep.
But the family's road to justice is far from over.
Oh, yeah.
We do have insurance on the motorhome. Unfortunately, for the contents inside the motorhome, we only have $5,000 worth of coverage. There was over $11,000 of personal property in the motorhome.
Wow.
So we're having to throw away everything that was in that motorhome.
An initial at-home test for meth contamination came back negative. But after hiring a professional team to test the motorhome, they were warned the RV is considered a meth lab.
Oh, my God. All right, I can stop it right there. The RV is considered a meth lab inside. Now, this was not a cheap old Winnebago like in Breaking Bad. This was not.
See, in Breaking Bad, they used the Winnebago. In Breaking Bad, they used the Fleetwood Bounder.
Whatever the hell it was.
It was like the 1987 Fleetwood Bounder.
It was a cheap, busted old, you know, motorhome.
Right.
This, they stole a good-looking, like, $300,000-plus motorhome and turned it into a meth lab.
This is a Tiffin Phaeton is a kind of RV.
Wow, look at that.
Now, this Tiffin Phaeton is just going to have a perpetual stench to it, like a chemical stench. Because I told you, when I used to live in Bakersfield, and I think that is one of the meth capitals of the world.
Oh, yeah.
And I just Googled it. Bakersfield is only 2 hours north of Lakewood. But it had...
This is Colorado.
Oh, Colorado. Oh, yeah, there's a Lakewood, California.
That's California.
Probably a Lakewood in every state.
Well...
There's a Lakewood Ranch in Manatee County.
That's a whole community, Lakewood.
A little further. Colorado, California.
My friend went to Lakewood High School.
Yeah. Well, in any case, it is... It stinks when you drive down into the valley. All of a sudden, you're like, ooh, what is that smell?
It's meth labs. Meth labs everywhere?
Yeah.
See, here, MJ, I pulled up a picture of the 1987 Fleetwood Bounder.
Ooh,
that's right. What Walter White bought for his meth lab.
Now, the question I have is, how does your motorhome being used as a meth lab affect trade-in value?
Yeah, yeah.
And when you take trade-ins at General RV, do you do meth screenings?
Yeah, and if you've got it rehabbed, what kind of do you have to reveal the history of it? Like, oh, this has been a meth lab in its past iteration.
You can figure out if there's been some major interior repairs. You know what they should look like, and if it has like beakers and Bunsen burners and a whole meth lab set up. Hey, this wasn't...
They got to have the right beakers, though.
This wasn't from factory, was it?
Anyway, I thought you'd like the expensive RV being stolen and turned into a meth lab story.
Ah, poor bastard.
Yeah.
Oh, I should give him a call. That means he's a customer. It means he's a prospect now.
Yeah.
He's in the market. Oh, wow.
Hot lead.
Got yourself a mark.
We'll put him on the hot file. Whatever.
There you go.
All right. Sorry, poor bastard.
It's a terrible story. I've got a leaf blower situation gone bad.
Personally, or a story?
It's morons in the news. I've got a leaf blower story gone bad.
Oh, okay.
That we got to do.
Do you own a leaf blower?
I do not own a leaf blower.
I have a Ryobi battery powered one.
I don't even own a leaf blower. But don't the battery ones suck as compared to the gas powered ones?
Well, you got to have two batteries.
What are you trying to do? Are you trying to open up like a lawn care business? Yeah. Are you trying to just blow off your driveway?
I want to be one of those lawn care guys that blows the leaves all over the neighborhood, the grass clippings all over the street. Like they're just going to disappear?
Dude, that's what I do.
Yeah, I know. So hang on, I've got a leaf blower story we got to get to. I've got a public theft we've got to talk about here. Oh. I gotta love it when a doctor, when a doctor is not a doctor and they're doing all kinds of doctor stuff. We'll get into that coming up in just a bit. Oh, and I've got a school bus story. We've had a rash of school bus stories lately. So hold on to that thought. I'm going to get to all of that coming up. But the leaf blower deal, the crazy doctor who, was he really a doctor? All that on the way. Don't move. We're back in minutes. On the MJ Morning Show here on Q105.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
MJ Morning Show on Q105, rolling up on 7:02 here on a Thursday morning. If you missed the big announcement yesterday, we had a 7:30 announcement. We are bringing back tablet tag, but it is getting twice as big. Massive. Instead of giving away just a measly 20 Microsoft Surface Pro tablets, which originally retailed for like, I don't know, $1,100. I mean, these are full Windows computers. Instead of giving away 20, we're doubling the offer. We are giving away, don't answer, don't act yet, we're doubling the offer. We're giving away 40. So shortly, we'll give you the start date coming up. Just keep listening for details. But I made the initial announcement. Powered by our friends at Two College Brothers Moving and Storage, they stepped up. So brought to you by Two College Brothers Moving and Storage, we're giving away 40, not 20, 40 Microsoft Surface Pro tablets. These things are awesome. That's my go-to unit. I use it every single day for my show prep and my daily computer travels. So shortly, we're going to start it up again, and you know the deal. We give away a tablet every hour during the week, Monday through Friday, 6, 7, 8, and 9 o'clock hours, a tablet every single hour. But instead of doing it for a week straight, we're going to do it for 2 weeks straight. It's enormous. We'll have 40 winners of these tablets. And if you didn't see the tablets behind me yesterday morning on MJTV, or the picture that I posted up on Facebook or on my Instagram, go look. So roll back and watch MJTV from yesterday when you get a chance, or go to my Instagram, Certified MJ Radio, or go to our MJ Morning Show Facebook page and see the whole pile of 40 of these Microsoft Surface Pros, and we'll give them away shortly. Details to come on the start of the contest here on the MJ Morning Show on Q105. All right, I want to take time to do a trifecta of just like bonkers stories here. And I subscribe to the theory that people are crazy.
Yes.
That do whatever you can, avoid confrontation, because you don't know what people's reactions are going to be.
Dude, take your own advice.
Okay, yeah, I don't know.
You're the one in the room.
You don't go out of your way to avoid confrontation.
You get in everybody's face.
What are you talking about?
Dude, every week you're like, yeah, I ran into some guy at the grocery store, and he did something, and I asked him, what the hell are you doing? And you ask.
No, I did. What did you tell?
Fester, help me. Help me come up with an example.
The last thing I did in a grocery store was I saw a purse unattended by a woman that had her shopping cart 10 feet down the aisle. She's picking out Townhouse crackers and Jif peanut butter.
I love Townhouse.
And her purse was unattended. And I'll say something like, ma'am, I just want your purse to be safe. I don't want it to be snatched. And there was a story recently. There were purse snatchers going through public stores in South Tampa.
Well, that was you being a superhero.
No, I'm just being a good Samaritan. I'm being a good citizen.
You also take photos of people. I remember you taking a photo of someone in a grocery store, too.
Yeah, the girl with the hat and the shirt that said F something.
Yep.
That was in Walmart. And it was like the effing Eagles or something.
Yeah, two instances. You're approaching strangers. You don't know what you're dealing with.
I'm not getting into confrontations.
All right, so MJ's prime time for getting into confrontation with strangers was during the height of COVID and his
that's right.
And his love of masking. MJ was a very avid masker. Didn't you go into a liquor store and some guy wasn't masked? And you like turned around, and you're like, hey, bro, how about you stop breathing on me? Or something to that effect.
No, first of all, I wasn't an avid masker. I'm just in a situation with a lot of packed people. I thought it was a good idea, especially not the flimsy masks, but
the good ones.
But the good N95s. I mean, listen, when we did not know what the transmission was like, I'm not an avid masker. I don't know what the hell you're talking
about. Not now, but back in the day.
When we were at the height and we didn't know what was going on, that was a good practice.
If you want to know what the M and MJ stands for, it's
no,
mask.
No, it doesn't.
Back in 2021, well, it did.
Yeah, it was just mask junkie. Right. Yeah.
Mask junkie.
Guess what? And guess who never got COVID?
Me.
And?
Yes, okay.
And I was the opposite of mask.
And me. So both
ends of the spectrum.
Never. All right, can I do my damn story now?
Oh, we have a story? Okay, yes. Go ahead.
So people can be nuts. This is over a leaf blower. I asked Andrew to give me some leaf blower sounds, and he pulled two different models. The gas leaf blower. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hang on. That's the gas leaf blower.
That's a good one.
And then we have the electric battery-powered leaf blower?
Battery pack,
That's what I got.
I don't know. That's,
it does the same job, bud.
Does it do the same job?
It blows stuff.
You don't have to handle gas and chemicals.
All right, here's the deal. So we had a fight over a leaf blower, and, well, some tragic results ensued. 59-year-old guy using a leaf blower was shot dead by his neighbor in Illinois.
Ooh.
A man doing yard work outside his home shot and killed by a 79-year-old neighbor. Sounds like a whole get off my lawn situation. Yeah, the shooting happened on April 12th. Charges were issued, though, on Tuesday of this week against Ettore Lachey. According to the Lake County Sheriff's Office, this is in Illinois, not Lake County, Florida. So what happened was sheriff's officials were sent to this home about 60 miles outside of Chicago. 59-year-old William Martis was found unresponsive in his driveway. He was shot and he died after being taken to a local hospital. The investigation revealed that there was just a long-running grievance situation between he and his neighbor. And while Martis was utilizing the leaf blower in his yard, he was approached by this Lachey guy, the 79-year-old. They had an argument over the use of the leaf blower, and the 79-year-old neighbor just shot him in the head.
Oh, my.
What the hell?
Executed the guy?
Oh, my God, over a leaf blower.
Not cool.
So the story goes that the shooting stemmed from the leaf blower being too noisy. They arrested Lachey. The sheriff's office says our condolences go out to the family and friends of William Martis, who was senselessly murdered. These two neighbors had previous confrontations, according to other neighbors who had seen this guy Lachey with a gun. You got to be kidding me.
God, come on, Nick.
Wait, this is... No, it's not Nick Lachey. It was
Nick's grandfather.
Ettore Lachey.
Yeah.
And it's not even spelled the same way. It's spelled a different way. So, again, over a freaking leaf blower noise, he shoots the neighbor in the head.
Didn't have to escalate to that.
Sure didn't.
Well, thank you. That's a...
You know, it didn't have to get to that point.
It's a good observation over there. Yeah, it didn't need to escalate to murder over lawn equipment. My God.
They couldn't have just stopped at a nice maiming.
All right, let me...
Just shoot him in the leg.
Yeah. I don't know.
Shoot him in the head.
You don't have a confrontation with a gun over a leaf blower.
Just pop off a pinky toe or something.
Now, let me give you another tip. Don't stop a school bus, board the school bus, just because one of the students flips off your wife and kid.
Mm.
All right?
Didn't that happen, Froggy? Didn't that happen to you recently? Or no, you got mooned. What happened to you with the school bus?
No, he was flipped off.
Oh, you were flipped off?
I was flipped off by a kid.
I'm about to bring that into the story here.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So this happened north of us up in Georgia, but this is a lesson that knows no geography, all right?
Can happen anywhere.
Yeah, can happen anywhere. This is nuts. Turns out this guy, a driver of a vehicle, pulled in front of the school bus, blocking the path of the school bus so it couldn't move, then boarded the school bus and wanted to know the name of the student that flipped off his wife and kid from the school bus window.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. This is Catoosa County, Georgia. And this happened on Monday earlier this week. A release from the Catoosa County Sheriff's Office says 55-year-old Roger O'Neill Barrett, he initially, I guess, called the sheriff's office asking for help with traffic so he could transfer cattle across the road. So this appears to be pretty rural Georgia, right?
Yeah, he's a farmer.
So it turns out that, I guess, he's moving cattle. His wife and kid are out there. But while he was moving cattle, and he allegedly then stopped the Catoosa County Public Schools bus, parked his truck in front of the bus so the bus could not navigate and move around the car. Barrett claims that a student on board the bus flashed an obscene hand gesture, so that would be a big old middle finger, toward his wife and child. So he blocks the bus, opens the door, gets out of the bus, and then demands the student's information. Then there's a heated verbal argument between Barrett and parents that were arriving on the scene because he's blocking the bus. The kids have cell phones. They're calling their parents.
Sure.
There's a crazy guy yelling about, you know, what's the kid's name? That this guy will not let the school bus pass. There are parents that are now showing up at the scene.
Oh, please.
All because this guy was so incensed that one of the students flipped off his wife and kid. Dude, you can't block a school bus and then board the bus and get in the kids' faces. What's your name? What's your name?
We would start, if I was with the boys and stuff, we would all crack up if we got flicked off by a kid and they saw it.
Anyway.
Luckily, I was alone when I got double barreled.
Folks, you don't want to do this, man. This guy's in trouble. I'm sure there's going to be maybe some felony charges here. You can't board a school bus.
Yeah, what will the charges be?
I don't know.
Unlawfully boarding a school bus.
Okay.
Yeah, the transportation director called 911. Anyway, so just a crazy story here. So, and then there are conflicting stories. He claims he didn't board the bus. Others are saying he did. Bottom line is, you can't block a school bus. I mean, all because some little punk kid flips off your wife and kid. Come on.
Let him get away with the flip.
That's just insane.
That's fun.
All right, and then I've got one more item when we get back. Do you know if your doctor's actually a doctor?
That's a good question.
Yeah, do you know if your doctor is really a doctor?
Right.
Have you ever gone online to like check to see if they're actually licensed with the state?
Well, usually you look for their diploma in their office.
Well, you can fake those.
Right.
Yeah. Just Photoshop them, fake them.
My doctor went to school, medical school with my sister, so I know for a fact.
Oh, well, there you go. Look at that.
But, was he the janitor?
There's a fake doctor story, but you're not going to believe the name of the doctor. All right, hold on. That and more coming up in just a bit. Oh, also, Roxanne wants to tell us about her crazy dreams.
Oh,
you were tripping last night. Is that it?
Totally.
Roxanne was tripping last night.
Save the Molly for the weekend.
Oh, and you know what else? You know what else? I didn't get a chance to mention this. I've got to tell a story regarding a traffic stop and marijuana and a whole sob story.
And yourself?
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually. You're involved in this. Okay.
Hang on. Yep. I'll tell the story. It's all coming up next on the MJ Morning Show here on Q105. Stand by.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
MJ Morning Show on Q105, 727. Oh, man, how did we get so freaking late? I'm like 4 minutes later than I want to be here. Anyway, hey, don't worry about it. We still go an hour and 20 minutes. We'll just add a little bit to the back end. Sorry if you're at a certain place, certain time of the day, every morning, and you're like, hey, they're still playing the Journey here. Why aren't they delivering pearls of MJ Morning Show wisdom right now? And now I'm 4 minutes late. I don't know where the time went, how it drifted. All right, MJ, Roxanne, Froggy Fester, you got the crew here. And like I said, we start an hour and 20 minutes nonstop. We're about 24 hours from the time we made the big announcement yesterday.
Yeah. Yep. I should have got a cake for the anniversary.
So yesterday at 7:30, which is 2 minutes from right now, we announced that we're bringing Tablet Tag back, but it's twice as big. We're giving away 40 tablets instead of just 20 tablets. And it'll happen shortly. Keep listening. We'll give you the exact start date coming up on the MJ Morning Show, but 40 winners, 40 Microsoft Surface Pro, full Windows computer tablets. Listen, these are the things you see on the sidelines, like at all the... Fessy, you've got some white food on your face.
Yeah. Where is it?
It's in your goatee. It's above, like, in the mustache part of it.
What? Yeah. Hey, can you... Hey, Andrew, can you please pull his camera up? Do you have... You have it?
I can't see it. Where is it? I'm looking at the camera.
What are you... Roxanne, can you point to it, please?
Yeah, it's right here.
Don't touch it.
I'm not going to touch it. I'm going to touch it with my pen. It's right there. Look at that. Can I flick it off? Can I get it off?
Oh, don't. He's sticking his tongue out.
Nasty.
Oh, my. Oh, he just grabbed it with his tongue.
All right, so... I have
what the hell was that?
MJ, I have to say.
It looked like zit material.
No, it was not zit material.
Dude, I don't feel good.
It was much more delicious. I have to say a big thank you to my girl, Wacky Jackie, who, in case you guys aren't hip to it, keeps a very, very well-stocked candy dish. Today she has
what candy is white?
He goes there every morning.
Every morning at 7:20.
You're a sneak eater.
I'm not a sneak eater. I make it very public.
Yeah, it's all over his face.
Yeah, seriously.
How do you eat a piece of candy that gets stuck there?
Well, y'all sit back.
Can you not find your mouth?
Y'all, listen.
You try to jam food in every orifice? We try to shove it in your nostrils?
Dude, I've tried every orifice. Let me tell you, candy's come out melted. And listen. She has my favorite candy, white chocolate Reese's peanut butter.
Oh those are good.
Look at these white chocolate Reese's peanut butter. And it comes in the white foil.
How do you get a chunk in your mustache?
But watch this, right?
I'll put it on. It's not even like on your lip area. It was above. It was the top. I don't want to see you eat. I don't want to see you lick and fondle little Reese's white chocolate peanut butter cup.
Anybody wants to talk about MJ mystery merch?
Oh, my God.
Reese's peanut butter cups, white chocolate. Best candy out there.
Don't eat on air. Mm. Disgusting.
Shut up.
Okay.
All right. Let me get back on track here.
Sorry. Hey,
so I mentioned just a minute. Let me just wrap up. Let me clean up one thing that I teased here. And that's this doctor. And there's only one reason why I'm doing the story. It's because of the doctor's name.
Okay. This better be a good name.
I love this story. All right. Now, I asked you just a few minutes ago, do you know if your doctor's real? I mean, you get these stories of like someone practicing dentistry and they were never really a dentist. And every once in a while, the doctor that doesn't have a license. Well, this happened out in California, LA area, Studio City.
Seems like it happens a lot in plastic surgery, right?
Well, in a lot of times you have, it's not really a doctor. You've got these momos that are like just injecting silicone caulk in people's butts.
In their garage.
Yes.
Okay, but there are people who are like legit go to hospitals and they'll make rounds and they'll wear the scrubs or the white coat and they'll check on patients. Wasn't there a story of a very, very young person who was going in and out of hotel rooms?
Yeah, that was Doogie Howser.
Not hotel rooms, hospital rooms. Yeah.
No, I don't remember. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There was a teenager over on the East Coast.
Yeah. Then he gets out and he does it again.
Yeah.
A fake doctor. And he's walking in. Oh, just checking your vital.
But he looked like Urkel. It's like, who would think this guy was a doctor?
Right.
But that was like in the 90s early 2000s.
Did I do that?
but he was just being a regular general doctor. This guy is a dentist in your story?
No, this is a doctor.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No. So, California, this guy is facing multiple felony charges. The guy had a whole office set up. He's been charged with, at this point, 5 counts of practicing medicine without a license, a place called Pathways in Toluca Lake. He's from Studio City, California. And he was even treating people with cancer. And the guy has no medical license. No formal training, apparently.
Does he have a college degree?
No, not in medicine, apparently. Practicing medicine without a license. And I read one story where they can't even determine whether he went to medical school or has any type of certification. But he certainly does not have a license to practice medicine in California.
How do you even get a practice going now, when you don't have a license? What is it, word of mouth?
That is a very good point. But the only reason why I'm doing the story, the guy's name is Stefan Gavorkian.
Oh, with a G?
It's a G.
Oh.
It's not a K.
Who's going to go to him?
The guy's, I go to Dr. Gavorkian.
Who's your doctor? Gavorkian? Did you say guh or kuh?
Nope, it's not Kevorkian. It's Dr. Gavorkian.
Oh, he makes reservations at restaurants. It's Gavorkian. Kevorkian, but with a G.
That's going to be my doctor from now on. I'm just, whatever doctor I go to, I'm just going to say I'm going to Dr. Gavorkian.
Al Pacino played a good Kevorkian.
Did he really?
Yeah!
Al Pacino played Kevorkian?
Yeah!
What was the name of the movie?
Kevorkian!
Really? What was this?
A couple of years ago. Look it up.
All right, I'm looking it up.
Was this like just some, like a direct-to-Netflix deal or what?
It was direct-to-HBO.
Okay.
I had to wear my shoelifts. Dr. Kevorkian okay, was so tall.
Are you serious? There was really?
Okay, hold on. The name of the movie was called You Don't Know Jack.
You Don't Know Jack.
I thought that was like a card game.
No. The movie.
You Don't Know Jack, a movie. Look at Al Pacino dressed as Kevorkian.
He does make a good one.
You Don't Know Jack. All right, take this injection here, Grandma.
Wikipedia says You Don't Know Jack is a 2010 American-made-for-television biopic written by blah, 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 directed by Barry Levinson. He's a well-known director. Starring Al Pacino, John Goodman.
Yes, he was the fat patient who had to die. Mm.
Danny Houston.
So you're tired of living.
Susan Sarandon. Yeah, look at that.
You sure you want to die?
All right.
All right, Al, I think you have the role.
That's enough.
I think you really embodied
it. I'm Dr. Kevorkian. Wow. I'm going to kill you.
You are an artist.
Wait a minute.
Thank you.
I'm guessing that Al Pacino did not play the part like that.
Yeah!
He plays every part.
He's an American
actor. That's how I
act. He did not.
I'm a doctor. Look at my white coat.
All right, we're going to do the death scene. Take one. Grandma's on the bed. Oh, Dr. Kevorkian.
Grandma! You sure you want to live?
I don't think I can go on, Dr. Kevorkian.
Then I'll kill you. Yeah.
Stop. Bless you.
That is not the way.
You're an angel of mercy.
You're going to die now.
That's not the way the movie sounded.
I'm Dr. Kevorkian.
Jeez. Right, I'm moving along. Stop!
Rest in peace!
Fester, you're gurgling. Stop! Stop it! It's disgusting.
It's a good movie.
It's absolutely disgusting.
That was a good reenactment, right?
Yeah, it was really good. That's how the whole movie is.
Then you gotta go, and scene.
And scene.
Cut.
And scene.
Thank you.
One take, boys. One take.
In my shoe list.
Thanks, Al.
Thank you.
Hey, Dr. Kevorkian.
Yeah!
I'm sorry, Al?
Yeah?
What are your thoughts? Are the Lightning going to be eliminated in Toronto tonight?
No! Or yeah. Not a Lightning guy.
Yeah, so tonight, do or die, if the Lightning don't win, it's done, and the Lightning eliminated in the first round of the NHL playoffs. So go Lightning up in Toronto tonight.
Or if you want an early summer vacation, don't go Lightning. I mean, it's up to you guys.
Oh, bite your tongue, Fester.
It's okay. We've been watching hockey for a long time.
Hey, did you see that there was a bird strike locally on an airliner?
I've been seeing more of those.
I don't know what's going on.
Sully situation?
Well,
maybe.
Well,
yeah. Didn't Sully suck in a bird?
Well, a whole bunch of birds. That's why.
There's a flock.
That's why that U.S. air flight that went down into the Hudson. No, but I don't know what it is. This week, there's like a whole spate of bird strikes. Did you see the American Airlines engine that caught on fire? They ingested birds. Those were probably Canada geese. And that's what
took down the U.S. Air flight.
The U.S. Airways flight that Sully was piloting, you know, the Miracle on the Hudson deal, it ingested. They were climbing out from, I think, runway 13 out of LaGuardia, and they hit a whole bunch, and they're all over the place. Like, you know, being up in New York, and, you know, you just see them. Like, Chloe played a lot of soccer games on Randall's Island, and they'd be on the soccer field, and there would be 2,000 Canada geese, like, in grass next to the... I mean, they're all over the place.
Big soccer fans?
And then you're walking on the field, and you're, like, trying to step around all the Canada
little
geese. All the poop all over the place. Oh, man, they're nasty.
Looks like little robustos everywhere.
But there was a bunch of bird strikes, and I think they were, like, all Texas. There were, like, a couple of Houston flights, then there was another Texas flight. But this week, like... four different bird strike stories, including here at PI, at PIE, the St. Pete Clearwater Airport.
Doug showed me a picture because he flew from Phoenix to Dallas last week, and he showed me a picture of his plane, and it had blood on it from a bird.
Oh, what?
Isn't that awful? Yeah.
Where did he take the picture of the bird blood?
When he was getting off the plane.
What was it, on the wing edge?
No, it was on
the engine cowling?
The circle part. What is that?
That would be the engine. Oh, the front of the plane?
No, not the nose. The engine. Not the nose. Yes, the one circle part on the left. Is that the engine?
Oh my God.
Wait a minute.
Oh my God.
You don't know that the circle part hanging off the wing is an engine?
Yeah, okay.
What do you think? What do you think? That's a beverage cart? Wait a minute.
I thought it was an air fryer for the birds.
The circle part. No, it's a merry-go-round. It's a Ferris wheel for the birds.
It's a little
outdoor amusement park. Wait a minute.
Yeah, the engine.
Hold on. Did you really say the circle part?
I was picturing the photo in my mind. It wasn't the engine. I know the engine is inside the circle part.
That houses the engine.
Yes, the circle part that houses the engine.
Stop saying circle part.
The engine. It's called the engine.
It's the engine. So where was Doug flying to and from?
I just texted him, but I don't know.
She said Phoenix
but
to
I
Dallas.
Believe, yeah, I know he went from Florida to Phoenix and then Phoenix to Dallas. So I think it was on the Phoenix to Dallas, which that's in line with your stories.
Wow.
With the,
that's scary.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Well, we have a local story now because an Allegiant flight, they had to go back to the St. Pete Clearwater Airport yesterday. This is shortly after takeoff yesterday morning. Allegiant flight 996 was leaving St. Pete Clearwater, PIE, headed for Omaha, Nebraska. The flight took off about 6:49 a.m. yesterday, and apparently bird struck the plane as the plane was climbing out, headed to Omaha.
Yeah, so it didn't get very far.
No, they turned around. So Allegiant declared an emergency. And
so they have to declare an emergency no matter what happens, just so they get priority handling when they land. So once they declare an emergency, they get priority, obviously, above all the other planes.
What are you, a traffic controller all of a sudden over there?
Yeah.
I do on weekends. Hello.
John Candy from Summer Rental? Yeah. Are you?
Or Billy Bob Thornton in Pushing Tin?
Yeah.
Right. Are you? Hold on. Just because the Pacino reference worked doesn't mean we need to do everything.
Yeah. So what would the pilot sound like if it was Al Pacino that just struck a bird?
Wait a minute. I think we just struck a bird. Did we?
Captain, watch out for that flock of birds over there.
All right. So the flight declared an emergency, standard procedure. So, Fess is correct. They get an emergency vector back to the airport.
I learned in weekend air traffic controller school.
No, you didn't. You probably read the story online.
I read it yesterday.
Yeah, there you go. So the captain then brought the plane down safely. Normal landing at PIE, taxi to the gate. The passengers were then taken off of the plane. No injuries reported, according to Allegiant. The plane, as of yesterday, was being inspected to make sure there was no serious damage. But, a whole bunch of bird strikes, including an American Airlines engine on freaking fire.
Which actually roasted the goose perfectly.
Yeah.
It was perfect.
So there was one, I think there were both American Airlines flights out of Houston, And both, one, the engine was like on fire. One, it was like belching flames. You know, airplane engines, they're designed to ingest birds. They're supposed to.
Well, I saw a picture of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was into Dallas. That was just confirmed. MJ, I have a question for you.
What? Say it again?
Doug was on the flight into Dallas.
Into Dallas.
It was confirmed.
Dallas.
It was into Dallas.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
All right.
Question for you.
Yeah.
What would be more annoying for you?
Yeah.
Me rattling off, 30 minutes of fun facts and saying fun fact before I said each one, or you and I talking and me describing plane parts by their shape, like the circle part, and then the wing part is the triangle part, and the body is the cylinder.
That's no contest. That's no contest.
So easy names for airplane parts that you don't know, so you're just going to name every plane part a shape.
I know them.
I was inside the tube part, the cylinder part, yes. And then those things that go off the side of the plane, they're like triangle parts.
We're really big into identifying shapes in my household right now, so that's rubbing off on me.
Fantastic. So, hey, we got our very own bird strike story. You know, there's a big effort. Airports all over the country, they have like owl figurines to try to scare birds away.
It's a big deal. I think I saw a documentary on how airports take all this effort to get the birds.
They have air cannons too. They'll have like devices that every so often they go.
How about
and
this?
They like blast air and make noise to try to scare birds away.
How about the birds make an effort, dude? How dumb are they? I mean, don't they see the big plane coming?
I would think that we probably ought to do some kind of advertising and just let the birds know, don't hang out at the airport, don't hang out near the airport, because you could get ingested by a circle part.
Go hang out on a farm.
The fast spinny part.
Hey, speaking of airplanes, I'm flying Delta tomorrow. So tomorrow we're heading up to Connecticut because it's my son's last parents' weekend at his boarding school. So we're going to see Julian over the weekend. So we're heading to Connecticut tomorrow, flying Delta. And I saw this last night. I'm like, all right, well, hopefully this doesn't happen on my flight. Water from bathrooms leaked and then jammed some of the autopilot controls. Oh, but wait a second. How does that happen? Man, this is a crazy story. Water leaking from the bathrooms of a Delta Airlines plane knocked out the autopilot system and left the pilots with limited control of the aircraft. An investigation is found after an incident last year. No one was injured on the flight from Prague, Czech Republic, to New York's JFK on Delta, July 7, 2022, but the crew had to declare an emergency and descend to a lower altitude, according to the NTSB. They just published the report on this. It turns out that leaking from bathrooms that then froze was likely to blame. How the hell can you have an airplane if you've got a bathroom leak that screws with the flight controls of the airplane?
The autopilot? I'm trying to figure out how this whole thing would work.
It's crazy. The toilet was leaking in one bathroom and the filter under the sink was leaking in another. Crew members restricted bathroom use, tried to clean up as much water from the floor as they could, but the crew then found that the plane's autopilot systems had disconnected and they couldn't reconnect them. Pilots also experienced issues with the plane's roll control. Because they noticed the plane was drifting and tilting to the right.
Gosh.
Wait a minute. What the hell?
Horrifying.
How the hell does the bathroom potentially interfere with the flyability of the aircraft?
It's a design flaw.
It was a Boeing 767-300. By the way, we flew the 767-300 when we went to Scotland early March. We went to visit Chloe at St. Andrews, and we flew Delta back and forth. Our flight back, man, we had a beat-up old 767, 30 years old. Our seats were coming apart. Michelle's tray table wouldn't work, so she had to hold the tray. We're in Delta One, right? So we're in business class Delta One, and Michelle had to hold her food tray in her lap on a propped up on a pillow because her tray was broken. Right. It wouldn't unfold.
Let me ask you this. Yeah. Did the toilet leak all over the main controls? Well,
the good news is...
Consider yourself lucky, man.
Exactly. But the Deltas, they're flying those old 767-300s, I guess, until they fall out of the sky.
Well, I don't know if literally... Yeah, maybe.
Hey, listen, I like Delta. Delta's like my airline of choice, but, you know, some of the planes are pretty beat the hell up. Yeah.
All right, MJ, you know all kinds of stuff about planes, pilots, flying, aviation. This is a test. What is a cowling?
A cowling is the ring around the outside of the engine encasement.
The circle part.
He said the ring.
Stop.
All right. You tell your texter trick question for MJ.
The cowling is the escutcheon or the ring around the outside of the engine. That's called the engine cowling.
Oh, you were going to say escutcheon, Roxanne? The escutcheon? Correct. It's the escutcheon.
I got to move along here.
Never said that word in my life.
But hey, we've got a bird strike. Tampa Bay area. Allegiant. No, I've never been on Allegiant. Fester, you've been on Allegiant, right?
I've flown my family on Allegiant. I prefer to...
Oh, so you won't fly on Allegiant, but you put your family on Allegiant.
Well, my wife makes a trip every year to Illinois, and Allegiant flies into smaller cities.
Now, I believe that Allegiant's gotten a whole lot better and a whole lot more reliable since they ditched their Mad Dogs.
Okay, yeah, the MD's what? The MD what?
MD-80s. MD-88s, 87s, whatever they were flying.
The thing about Allegiant is it's only one flight a day. So if you don't make that 6 o'clock flight, it's not like, you know, Delta to Atlanta where there's
20 flights a day from Tampa, whatever.
So, if you miss that one flight, or if there's a delay, it's the next day, no matter what. It can't put you on a later flight.
All right. Speaking of airport, airplane related stuff. I never heard of this. The TSA busts a guy trying to board... trying to go through security with this item that I've never heard of, but it has a dual purpose. Can I ask, what are you doing, Froggy? Froggy's like disrupting.
Is that breaking news?
I just got a text from Hurricane.
What?
I don't know. If this
I don't know. Here,
I don't know if this is true.
All right, so I'm trying to tell the story
I'm
here.
Sorry,
and
I'm sorry.
It just caught me off guard. He texted me.
I'm watching Froggy walk over to Fester, and he's holding his phone in Fester's face. I'm like, what are you guys doing?
I mean, I almost want to call Hurricane on this if this is true. I've never seen anything like this in my life, MJ.
All right, so we just got a text from Hurricane, formerly of the MJ Morning Show.
Good friend of ours, absolutely.
And Hurricane says... accident in front of the 2001 Odyssey Strip Club on Dale Mabry involving a funeral hearse.
Oh my God. I hope they weren't like on their way to a job.
I don't. Fire department's there. EMS has a stretcher out. So,
oh my God, a body?
Who? Who's the stretcher for? The guy's dead.
What a sideshow. Hold on.
That's just what caught me off guard.
Hang on a minute. I'll get it. Let me call up Hurricane. Let me call Hurricane live. We've had Hurricane on.
Yeah.
We've had him on the show since we've been back.
Have we?
All right, hang on. Let me buzz him up here. I just had to bring up his phone number here. All right. 813-78. All right. Calling Hurricane. So let's, man on the scene.
All right. So
apparently, does Pat know about this?
I think we got the breaking news on this one.
Hey, can you do me a favor? Andrew, run down to Pat and see if he knows about an accident on Dale Mabry. Hey, Hurricane.
Hey.
Hey, Hurricane, we're live. MJ Morning Show. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well.
Okay, so give us the traffic report on Dale Mabry in front of the 2001 Strip Club.
So, first of all, I passed it already. But, it was I went by the fire departments there, EMS. There's a stretcher out. It looks like a hearse was trying to make a U-turn in front of the 2001.
Right. Yeah, sure.
Laughing at
Dale Mabry has that open median right there. Yeah.
All right, so exactly. are you telling me did the hearse get T-boned?
I believe so, but, the fire department and police have us moving forward, so I didn't get to see much.
Did a casket get hurled out of the hearse on top of the spaceship?
I did not see that.
All right, so we need anybody in the area passing by to get us a photo of the hearse.
Oh, man.
Just so we can see if it's loaded or not.
It's got to be tough to U-turn a hearse.
Hey, did you hear the one about the hearse and the accident in front of the strip club?
Tell me about it, huh?
It was a real stiff one.
That sounds like quite a scene.
Hold on, you got a bunch of stiffs going on over 2001, you know? All right. So you did not see.
What? He didn't laugh when. What? Probably doesn't laugh when I say stiff, but MJ says stiff. He's like,
Well, he's just funny got funnier.
He's the boss.
He's a funny little boss.
You just call me funny little boss?
No, that's a funny one, boss.
Oh, okay.
I don't call you that to your face.
So, Hurricane, you don't know if there's any injuries. You didn't see a casket. You didn't see a body.
I didn't see a casket. I didn't see a body. I know they were loading somebody up on the stretcher, and that's pretty much it.
But what color was the funeral hearse? Was it a black hearse?
It was a black hearse.
And could you see, a lot of times the funeral homes have the names on, like, the window. Could you see any name?
No, I did not. Again, like I said, the police are making us move by pretty fast. But, yeah, I didn't see any body. It was a fairly new hearse.
That sucks.
Yeah. Uh-oh, better get Mako. All right. Thank you, Hurry. I appreciate the update, man.
No problem.
Hey, and Andrew just ran down to Pat, our traffic guy, so maybe he can investigate the story so we can get some more details.
Well, hold on here. Hold on here. Now, I'm actually on Del Mabry and coming up at Martin Luther King.
Yep.
MLK, and there's another accident up here.
Another hearse?
Oh, my God.
No, I don't think it's a hearse this time. I mean, we're coming in front of, Apple Lopez Park?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's accidents all up and down.
Oh, my God. What is going on?
Hurricane, be careful.
This one's got three vehicles. Let me see if I can't take a picture there for us. There's three vehicles at the intersection of Del Mabry and MLK, and I just went through it. So, yeah, and we got vehicles turned around.
What is going on? Accidents all over Dale Mabry today.
Better than Pat.
Yeah, this is like a Hurricane and the MJ Morning Show road cruiser.
Hurricane, thank you, buddy. I appreciate you checking in.
Thanks, Hurricane.
All right, no problem.
See you, buddy.
Great to hear from you. All right, Hurricane, formerly of the MJ Morning Show.
Does that Kemp Rouge and Green do
funeral hearse accidents?
Funeral hearse accidents. Absolutely.
We have. They'll do any kind of accident.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. And they said in a funeral hearse case, Kemp Rouge and Green says that we will recover money over our dead body.
Wait.
Does that work? How does that?
No. Over your dead body because you're the one in the hearse, right?
Whatever.
I don't know.
I tried. Right, let me get back to my story.
Sorry.
So
what story is it? I forgot.
The TSA story.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So I never heard of this. This apparently is a dual purpose item. A guy tries to go through TSA at Boston Logan. On Sunday morning, 26-year-old man is facing charges after he attempted to bring something called a vampire straw. Have you ever heard of a vampire straw?
Well, that would be to suck blood, obviously. Right?
Not really. It's this spiked metal straw.
And blood it's, for a vampire.
It can be used as a straw, or it can be used to bludgeon somebody in the eyeball.
Okay.
So it's like a metal giant Capri Sun straw?
It is a hard metal straw with like a tapered end that has like a spike, almost like a spear.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like cut on an angle. So 26-year-old dude is in trouble. It's a self-defense item. It's called the vampire straw. I never heard of this thing.
Does he have a mugshot? Are we going to get to that or we don't know? Because we're going to see if he looks like a vampire.
Around 5:40 p.m. Sunday, police were called by the TSA. They found a titanium vampire straw inside a pouch in a passenger's backpack. The vampire straw is both a drinking straw and a self-defense item.
So you could just be walking around sucking on your Yeti 40-ounce drink cup?
And then if someone attacks you, then suddenly you've got a metal spike straw that you can defend yourself with.
Okay, so I totally want to buy these.
Like, who the is anyone listening that has a vampire straw? Well,
I want to buy them to get into the Capri Sun because those plastic ones they give you, they don't work. Where
it's so hard to do.
You could sit there and stab it and stab it and stab it, but if you had a vampire straw,
oh, yeah.
Get right in.
Easily get through that.
Send your kids
material.
To kindergarten with a little baby vampire straw. Just pop right into those juice boxes.
So the vampire straw is a self-defense item that can be carried in a cup without attracting attention, according to the Massachusetts State Police. Now, by the way, the Massachusetts State, we go into Boston a lot because with Chloe, you know, she's coming back from St. Andrews next month, in a couple of weeks, actually, and then she'll finish up one semester at UNH. But when we go visit Chloe, we fly into Boston. So we've been to Boston, you know, over the last couple of years, you know, a couple of dozen times probably, and the Massachusetts State Police, they're the ones that do airport security. So you see state troopers running around the airport. They've got a whole barracks right on the airport property. So they were called, listen to this, designed for self-defense. The vampire straw is super tough and long enough to be used like a dagger. Ah, here it is. It's chiseled tip. That's what it's called. I said like an angled
angle. Yeah.
It's just like a Capri Sun straw.
It's a metal Capri Sun straw.
Except it is made out of metal and can be a deadly weapon.
Yeah, it could be. So you have to walk around with a cup?
No,
so,
everybody walks around with these stupid metal cups and they have straws coming out of them.
Do we have any listeners that have vampire straws?
And there's a whole movement for non...
Where do I find these straws?
A one, a two, a three, a four, a vampire straws.
I feel safe.
It's the count.
So I found these online for sale. MJ, they're $85 online.
Well, it's a weapon.
Fester's on a website. Oh, yeah, that's the brand. Wait a minute. So in the story, it says that it is the purchase from Zabo Inc., S-Z-A-B-O-I-N-C. So that's the website that Fester's on.
So look, the hand part kind of has grooves for grippability.
Oh my, so the custom, it's like when you have that that checked mark in metal.
Yeah. But it makes it easier to grab a hold of.
Look at the price of this thing. Custom titanium vampire straw, $85.
It's a custom order. You have to allow at least a month.
Yeah. Allow 4 weeks for delivery. All right. I want to go to phones.
You can drive that into somebody's eye if they're messing.
Do we have anyone listening that has a vampire straw and why?
I just found my Mother's Day gift for the old lady. She loves those cups. Cool. She has like those big Stanley 40 ouncers. I'm sending her out with a weapon every time.
All right. Do you have a vampire straw? I want to call us up right now. 800-990-1047. 800-990-1047. And I'll tell you what. If we get a female caller that has a vampire straw.
She's a badass.
I'm going to be very impressed.
Yeah.
Or I don't. But let me read more from the story. Designed for self-defense, the vampire straw is super tough and long enough to be used like a dagger. Its chisel tip is sharp enough to puncture most synthetic materials, according to the website that Fester's on right now. The vampire straw is also a very effective tire deflator and can be carried in a cup in public without attracting attention. From a cup, the vampire straw is very easy to deploy in reverse grip and put into action almost instantly. What the heck? What, you just walk down the street with a drink with your vampire straw waiting to stab somebody in self-defense?
Not waiting to stab somebody, but if you need it, I mean, yeah.
Armin...
Hammer?
Armin Achuthan Nair, 26, of Chicago, was arrested at Boston Logan for carrying a dangerous weapon. The TSA suggests to pack this in your checked bag. Vampire straws are tough and long enough to be used as a dagger, according to the TSA, hence the reason they're not allowed in the cabin of the aircraft. However, state police said they are illegal to carry. Similar to other certain edged instruments, such as a stiletto or a dagger.
You can't carry a dagger?
Wow.
I thought a stiletto was a shoe.
Well, a stiletto is also a knife.
Oh, I knew that.
Yeah, stiletto, the heel, a stiletto heel is named that because of the stiletto knife. Yeah, Fester.
Yeah,
who knows? Oh, it's 8 o'clock. Yeah, I got to do the work. But are you getting any calls? All right, so Andrew's going through phone lines. I'm watching him screen calls here, but no one with a vampire straw?
Come on.
Just let me call in a month when a mine comes in. I'm getting one of these.
Dude, you're really going to order a vampire straw?
I love these tchotchke weapons.
Tchotchke? I mean, what do you have, Chinese throwing stars on your dashboard in your car?
Wishes. Dude, I used to buy them from the Wagon Wheel flea market all the time.
But Chinese throwing stars?
Yeah. Dad's like,
They had a Chinese throwing star booth at the Wagon Wheel flea market?
Wagon Wheel flea market had everything back in the day. R.I.P. Wagon Wheel.
I need some live grenades.
I bought a keychain a couple of years ago that kind of had like finger grooves on it and had like a metal tip at the end. And my wife's like, what's that for? And I'm like, it's for killing people.
What's the matter with you? All right, let's do the cash box word here. Let's rock the cash box here on Q105. Your chance to win $1,000 right now. This hour's word is dagger.
Get out
of
here.
No, I'm kidding. I'm joking. I'm kidding. It's not. No, this hour's word is play. That's P-L-A-Y. Text the word play right now nationwide to 45911 before 8:15, quarter after. Got a shot at $1,000 cash, or you can enter it on the Q105 app or at myq105.com. So the word is play, and you got a shot to win $1,000 right now with our nationwide contest. Text the word play to 45911. We'll also do it at 10 a.m., then 12 noon, then 3 p.m., then 5 p.m. All chances to win $1,000 here on the MJ Morning Show and on Q105. So good luck. Roxanne, would you like to tell us about your bizarre trip and dream from last night?
I would say that this is one of the most like psychedelic weird dreams I've ever had.
Sweet.
It was okay. I ate in the dream. I ate a piece of a sponge that I later found out was actually like a psychedelic sponge.
Wait, yes. Hold on.
What?
You had a dream last night, and mm-hmm. in the dream, so is it like, last night I had the strangest dream?
Yeah.
I sailed away to China in a little
boat.
Rowboat to find you. And you said you had to
eat a psychedelic sponge.
No, keep your laundry clean. Oh, that's ain't nothing going to break my stride, guys.
I do like that. Come on. There you go. Look. I don't know all the lyrics,
So you have a dream.
Yes.
And you're eating a sponge. Now, is this like the Today sponge you're eating?
No, it was like a sea anemone sponge. Oh, that's disgusting.
What was the word you used?
No. Remember the Seinfeld episode with the Today sponge?
Yes.
He's talking about a reproductive.
Is the Today sponge back on the market? Is that still around?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't use it very often.
Me neither.
All right, so here's the deal.
Very often.
All right, so you're having a dream and you're eating a sea sponge.
A sea sponge. And then I find out.
But you said it's not an anemone, it's not a sponge.
Okay, I know, but I'm trying to get you down there at the bottom of the, you would know, Mr. Right. Scuba Diver.
Yeah.
But you're down there at the bottom of the ocean and you see anemones and you see sponges.
Sure.
It's that kind. It's not a Brillo pad. It's not a one that you pop up there for a
wild
night.
Are you talking about like the kind of sponges I can buy in Tarpon Springs?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about the happy face sponge that people use?
Oh, the Scrub Daddy?
Is that what it's called?
Oh, I love that thing.
Yeah.
If, you know what? They look like psychedelic treats.
So you eat the sponge, and what happens?
And so I eat the sponge, and then someone tells me, oh, by the way, this is a psychedelic sponge. And so I start tripping in my dream. And it was so weird. And I remember I was like, this is wah, wah. It was really weird. And then I started thinking, I don't like how this is making me feel. I just want to go to sleep and sleep off this sponge psychedelic. So I go to bed. And in the dream, and then I wake up in real life and I was fine. But I feel like if someone said, Roxanne, have you ever tried LSD or, you know, mushrooms or whatever? The answer is no. But now that I have this dream, I feel like I know what it feels like to trip like
that.
You think it was so realistic.
So you, with your dream,
yes,
you had what you think would be
comparable.
A tripping experience if you did do LSD.
Yes, wow. Exactly. It was very strange. So I was trying to figure out what I did. Did I eat spicy food? What did I do to bring this on?
What precipitated or what was the cause of you having this crazy psychedelic dream?
Right. And I think that it was because before I went to bed, I was read stories to my daughter, and then I was making stories up for her, which I do on occasion. But last night I was like, all right, let's do choose your own adventure makeup story. So I was making up this story, and then I said, if you don't like where it's going, tell me to change it. And so she'd be like, no, change the character to this. And I was trying to go really fast and be really creative, and I think that like primed my brain for just wonky,
hold on,
wonky
you're
dreaming.
Saying a book meant for a 6-year-old led you to a psychedelic trip?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Dr. Seuss does
that. Yeah. So, I mean, it just is, it shows you what, how you are using your brain before you go to bed can impact how you dream.
Dr. Seuss clearly was experimenting with hallucinogens.
No question.
Yeah.
Did you lick any stamps or anything? Send any letters before bed?
No, but I did eat a piece of my sponge after I washed the dishes. So maybe that was.
You know, I'm not going to dwell on this, but it's kind of bizarre.
Yeah.
Just timing wise. Because I've mentioned this before, like 2, 3, maybe 4 times a year, I get those crazy dreams where, and I had it last night, where it feels like you get no sleep whatsoever.
Yes.
So last night I had those ultra like lucid dreams where it does not feel like you are asleep. And all night long, it is like you are having like an outer body experience and you're looking at yourself sleeping, having these crazy dreams. So I don't know what it is. You had your crazy dream last night, and I had one of those nights where you're dreaming, and it's like you are getting no rest. It's like you're awake the entire night, and there's like an awareness that you are dreaming, and it just doesn't feel like you're getting a very good night's rest. So I had that last night
I had opposite, because mine was so real, I woke up and I thought that I really was tripping.
Well, how about Ozempic? Were you any?
No, I wasn't. And I know maybe that had something to do with it, too.
No, because we had that. Remember, we had that Ozempic story a couple of days ago. Oh, my God. If I play the jingle, is the guy going to flip out?
Probably.
The guy that hates this? Oh, Ozempic. Yeah, we've got a listener that literally goes into convulsions whenever we play. Yeah, it's like the guy that every time Mary Hart's voice came on Entertainment Tonight years ago. Remember the guy went into
nuts?
The guy went into like convulsions. Remember that?
Yeah.
The guy went into spasms.
I'm Mary Hart.
The guy claimed that Mary Hart's voice on Entertainment Tonight, you know, the TV show, made him have like these mental, what was the word I'm looking for? It's
Fits,
convulsions,
seizures.
I think it caused the guy to seize. Ooh. No, we have the story, Roxanne. And hold on, man. I think I have it still in the. I do. Hold on, but yeah. Remember, we did a story earlier in the week. The Wall Street Journal had it about people saying that Ozempic is giving them side effects.
Yeah.
And the whole Ozempic thing is very controversial. Ozempic is a medication for diabetics. And what is it? Lower your A1C, right?
According to the commercial.
Right.
I don't know
for
sure.
That's what they say. But then it was learned that Ozempic also can help people lose like 12, 14, 15. I've heard of people losing 25 pounds. You know, there's a whole, Michelle, my wife, pointed out, I think it was yesterday, hey, what's going on with Jessica Simpson?
I sent you that too.
No, but Michelle brought it up to me. Okay. Yes. So Jessica Simpson, the Jessica Simpson, there are pictures of her and she has lost a ton of weight. She's got a very thin bikini body. In fact, there are pictures of her sporting a bikini.
Doesn't look good.
Michelle said to me, what's going on with her face? That her face is all like kind of gaunt now and her face is very thin. And then I even said to Michelle, maybe she's doing the whole Hollywood Ozempic thing, because Ozempic was created, the drug for diabetics, but people can lose a lot of weight on this. So as you know, we've talked about it multiple times, Ozempic, Wegovy, and what's the other one? Mounjaro?
Yes.
It's not delivery. It's DiGiorno. There's another one of these drugs. Okay. It sounds like DiGiorno. Frozen pizza. I think it's Mangiarono.
Mangiarono.
How great would that be
to have a DiGiorno pizza with a weight loss supplement as the topping,
with an Ozempic pen jammed into it? It's one of the toppings. Instead of pepperoni, you got Ozempic pens all over your pizza. No, but seriously, this has turned into an issue because diabetics that need to get a hold of Ozempic have been having trouble, and these other drugs like Wegovy, because it's the latest fad, is people that are not diabetic are getting prescribed these drugs like Ozempic because they're losing 10, 15, 25 pounds.
I'm telling you, there are a lot of people that are, I mean, everybody's doing it, it seems like.
Well, then that I held on to this story because I did actually have a new side effect of people taking Ozempic. Hold on, I'll get to that in a second. So as far as your bizarre dream, Roxanne, we have the story about people that are having ridiculous dreams on Ozempic. And there's like this theme that people are having bizarre dreams involving celebrities. I don't know if it's because people on Ozempic have heard the stories that the craze to take these drugs like Ozempic kind of started with celebrities.
Yeah.
But the Wall Street Journal had a whole story that the Ozempic dreams have been reporting are downright wacky. Among the plots, people have posted on social media groups like joining the cast of the Golden Girls and preparing to rob a museum with Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck.
Oh, God, I wouldn't want to rob a museum with those two.
I'm carrying your baby, one dreamer recalled telling Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who she thought, judging by his reaction, was open to blending their families. The overnight spectacles are side effects of drugs such as Ozempic, Wegovy, and Mounjaro. The companies originally developed the drugs, which require weekly injections to treat diabetes, only to discover that they were much better than older diet drugs at helping people lose weight.
You know, part of diabetes therapy is to lose weight. So the drug does what it's supposed to do for diabetics and other people.
Listen to this. Somebody on Ozempic had a dream and they said they spent the night at Home Depot ordering new cabinets and appliances for my kitchen. My salesman was Clint Eastwood, and he helped me pick out everything I needed.
I think Clint does moonlight at the Home Depot. I've heard that about Clint.
Oh, my. It's crazy. Then remember, we talked about last week, was that one crazy dreamer on Ozempic apparently had a dream about Matthew McConaughey, and there was an argument between the dreamer and Matthew McConaughey and sitting on a little llama.
That's awesome.
What the heck? Hey, Clint Eastwood is your salesman at Home Depot?
What are you looking for?
Do you feel lucky, punk?
Take my sale. I mean, day.
So, yeah, last week's Matthew McConaughey dream was attending a cattle auction with Matthew McConaughey.
Wait a minute. Another Ozempic dreamer was about to give birth in a bar and wanted Will Ferrell, who was standing nearby, to deliver the baby.
I mean, if I were in a bar with Will Ferrell, I'd want him to deliver my child as well.
Hell yeah.
Oh, my. I drive a Dodge Stratus. Remember, that was Will Ferrell, right? This is crazy stuff. So there's a whole series of these Ozempic dreams that are being talked about. In addition, one dreamer, that was the cattle auction. So one of the dreamers dreamt that they were at a cattle auction with Mr. McConaughey.
Right.
And that they got into an argument over a llama. And then there was another dream that she was shopping for shoes with Jurassic Park actor Jeff Goldblum. And they had seen an eye doctor with Pirates of the Caribbean star Johnny Depp and toured North Korea with Minnie Pearl of Hee Haw.
Kim Jong-un loves Minnie Pearl.
Mike, on another dream, they were on a camping trip in Yellowstone National Park, and this patient on Ozempic could not agree with her celebrity dream partner on how to set up the tent and started screaming, "I hate you, Kathy Lee Gifford." What?
Kathy Lee Gifford?
What the hell?
She seems so pleasant.
Mike. Anyway, so Roxanne with her crazy dreams. I just wanted to make sure you're not on Ozempic.
I'm not.
All right. So then I brought this back up because there's another Ozempic side effect. So it's the crazy dreams. We did a story about a week ago about Ozempic butt deflation. Remember?
Oh, that's right.
That people were saying that their butts were deflating. The weight loss was deflating their rear ends. And then there's one more. Some patients doing the Ozempic for weight loss, they're now reporting that their hair is falling out.
I saw that too. Whoa.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Popular new weight loss drugs, Ozempic, Wegovy, helping people lose pounds, but apparently it's also helping them lose their hair. And some people have their hair coming out in clumps. So
that's no fun.
So there you go. Let me grab a couple of calls on this. Oh, wait a minute. We have an Ozempic call. Hey, Lori, hold on. Let me grab Drew first, because Drew, I think, is calling in about the vampire straw. Hang on. Drew is in Tampa. Hey, Drew, welcome to the MJ Morning Show.
Hey, how's it going, MJ?
We are going well. Hopefully you're enjoying the broadcast today.
I'm loving it. Loving it.
Thanks. So you saw vampire straws for sale?
Yeah, I did. We, my buddy Matt and I, we were headed to Talladega to go to the race this weekend. We stopped in one of those little no-name gas stations in the middle of the woods that there's nothing around.
Yep.
And there next to all the pocket knives and the big daggers and all the crazy stuff they sell, you know, they sell right there. Yep. There's a whole box of these things. And I look at my buddy and said, "What kind of drug problem these people have?" Looks like a big Coke straw.
So there were metal vampire straws. They were selling at this convenience store near Talladega. Oh, speaking of Will Ferrell, right?
Talladega Nights.
Yeah.
So did you know at the time, Drew, that they were weapons, or did you figure it out today when you heard it?
When you told me. I picked it up, showed my buddy, said, "I have no clue other than they'd be using these for drugs. Why would you have this big metal?" And it's next to all the knives and stuff they sell these gas stations. It makes sense.
Do you remember how much it was?
Yeah.
It was like $14.99 or something.
Yeah, you know, it probably wasn't titanium. The one online that Fester wants to buy is like $85, and it's made out of titanium. Hey, Drew, thanks for checking in. I appreciate it. All right, Lori is in Seminole. She wants to pick up on the Ozempic deal. So, Lori, you've been on Ozempic for a while, right?
Yes.
And have you had any crazy dreams, Lori?
Not at all.
Just normal dreams, or you're not dreaming at all?
I mean, I typically don't have a lot of dreams, but...
Now, Lori, are you on Ozempic because of diabetes, or are you on Ozempic because you want to lose some weight?
No, I'm a long-term diabetic, type 2.
And have you lost weight?
I have lost a few pounds, nothing drastic.
But the people that are saying that they're on Ozempic that don't need it for diabetes, but they're losing 12, 15, 25 pounds. You have not experienced that kind of weight loss?
No, and I know about some of those people, too. I don't want to say, but because of where I work, and I know that it is sold for weight loss, and you can lose a lot of weight with it, but I am not on the maximum dose.
Gotcha.
I take it strictly for my A1C, and it has done tremendous for me.
Well, so what was your A1C? Were you like a 7.5, or what were you?
Oh, no. I was way up there, like 10 plus.
Oh, my God. All right, so what has your A1C been brought down to with Ozempic?
Just had my blood work done about a month ago, not even, a few weeks maybe. And it's at 7.0.
Wow, that's pretty good. All right, let's do it. Let's sing along. You ready? 3, 2, 1, and... Oh, 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 Ozempic, helping Lori. Oh,
that's the new commercial.
Yep. You can add the name.
And Lori can come out.
Exactly.
Hi, I'm Lori from Seminole, and I used to have a A1C of
11...
Plus.
Of 700.
But now...
Now I'm a 7.0.
Thanks to the minimum dose of Ozempic, I haven't had any crazy-ass dreams.
Lori, last question. Because of all the people trying to get Ozempic for non-diabetes needs, just to lose weight, have you had any trouble in getting your Ozempic prescription filled?
not at this point. I did in the beginning, and I knew nothing about the weight loss thing until just a few months ago, actually.
Yeah, it really kind of bubbled up.
It was an insurance issue. You had to, like, jump through hoops proving that you were, in fact, a diabetic and that you had tried other things.
Right, and not just trying to get a bikini body for the summer.
Right.
All right. Hey, Lori, thanks a lot and best of luck. Thank you for listening to the show. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, Lori, have a great one. You know, hey, speaking of drugs, one last thing. Remember what I said that I was thinking about buying and carrying just to have it?
I do.
What was it?
Let's all say it at the same time.
Go ahead.
One, two, three, Narcan.
I forgot. Oh.
You're the only one that said it.
We don't all need to say things at the same time. But listen, Andrew, we got a lot of feedback that it's already available, or some people said you can go to the sheriff's office and get it. It's not like it's secret.
No, it's not. And of course, it's not a secret.
Okay.
But there was a story earlier in the week that it's coming soon that Narcan, the opioid overdose reversal drug, that Narcan is going to be available over the counter. You just walk in a Walgreens, CVS, whatever, Rite Aid, your local neighborhood pharmacy, and buy Narcan. That's coming soon, apparently. And I said earlier this week, after seeing the story, I said, you know what? I think I'm going to carry it. I think I'm going to buy Narcan and, you know, just keep it in the car. Keep it, you know, I don't think I'm going to carry it in my pocket everywhere I go. But I'm thinking about buying Narcan just in case. You know, I'm at Best Buy and someone's, you know, tweaking out on the sidewalk or something.
Let me go back to my car.
I've got Narcan. There's no need to fear. Narcan Man is here.
Man. There's a good advertising campaign.
Oh, you're right.
It would suck if...
With a big N on the chest?
Yeah, the more you know.
Yeah.
It would suck if somebody had an overdose in the back of the store and you got a crappy parking spot in the back of the parking lot. You're like, wait. Hold on. It's in my car. You have to run 150 yards to your car.
Narcan Man could fly. Well, no.
The guy having the seizure. Never mind. Can you get it? Have you got any leads on how you're going to get one? We had a couple of listeners offer to drop one by for you. Has that happened yet?
No, I remember there was a guy in, I think, Lakeland or something. Yeah, that his brother. Didn't he say his brother has like a big drug problem?
His sister. He said he no longer talks to his sister, and he has all these leftover Narcan needles or pens or whatever they are.
Yeah, remember that? Yeah. So yeah, I'm gonna get it. I've made the decision. But the reason why I'm bringing it up again is because I got an email. Hey, MJ, I think the idea of you having Narcan on hand is an awesome idea. I wish more people thought that way. I'm just a good citizen of the world.
You are.
Yep. Hero.
My brother suffers badly with addiction, has overdosed more times than I'd like to admit. Unfortunately, this disease is doing nothing but getting worse. And if you or anyone had that on hand and came across someone in need, and it could be anywhere nowadays, we could give that individual a glimmer of hope to have a chance of overcoming this in the future. Love your show. Listen every day. I was the one who called you guys about listening to the MJ Morning Show while in the MRI machine. Thank you, Crystal. So, Crystal, thank you. Yep. So, I mean, it's pretty much sealed. As soon as I can get Narcan, I'm gonna keep one in the car. Keep one maybe in my carry bag. I don't know. Just in case.
Oh, you can't put it in your carry-on bag. You've only got X amount of space in there.
My work bag.
Well, your carry bag.
Hey,
okay.
Listen, who knows? One of our crazy salespeople might be,
that can happen any day.
We can have an opioid overdose with, Mark Zalas. You never know.
I'll give you the name of 10 of them.
Oh, my God.
About to jam the thing up his nostril.
Not the Z-Man.
You never know.
Not the Z-Man.
All right. Listen, if you're coming into St. Petersburg on Interstate 275 on the Howard Franklin Bridge.
Oh, well, hold on. Is this a traffic alert?
You're waiting a while.
All right. Hold on a minute. We got a traffic alert here on the MJ Morning Show. All right, ladies and gentlemen.
Wait, is this the hearse?
Hold on.
No, this isn't the hearse. I'm looking on the area map, and the hearse isn't really drawing much attention.
Right.
Well, here you see the red area in Dale Mabry where the strip club is.
Oh, wait a second. I need more urgent traffic noise. Hang on. All right, let's go to the traffic copter. Here's Fester. Fester, what's going on 275?
All right, I'm up
for the MJ Morning Show. Traffic up to right now. Interstate 275 southbound going into Pinellas County. You're going to see an accident right at the MLK exit there, right from 4th Street Junction here. So you're going to see a little significant backup all the way into the
Who's your pilot? Is it Al Pacino?
Al Pacino's my pilot over here.
How you doing over there?
I'm doing real well, Al. How are you, Al, what do you see over the strip club accident involving the hearse?
I see a bunch of cars and a bunch of trees.
What kind of cars do you see out there, Al?
I don't know. They're little. They're really small.
Let's get a little closer to the ground, Al.
Let me get closer.
All right, hold on. Who's our stewardess here on this helicopter flight?
Excuse me. It's flight attendant.
No, it's stewardess.
Who's this broad?
I don't know. She's new. She doesn't know she's a
stewardess. Yeah, just watch out for the birds.
Oh, no.
Bird strike.
We're going down.
Yeah. Traffic cops are going down right on the Tampa Bay here. All right, so listen, if you're on
we're all dead.
All right, so listen, if you're in Interstate 275 into St. Petersburg, you're screwed for a little while.
I want to let people know about something that I just recently saw about our cell phones. And there is a packet of information that you're essentially transmitting with your cell phones to companies that, like, when you visit their websites. Now, I was not aware of this, and I want to thank computer expert Kim Commando for bringing this to my attention.
Well, the radio syndicated personality who does, like, all tech talk.
Listen to this. So we have the information. Hey, Andrew, can you make it prominent? Go to MJMorningShow.com.
Okay.
Yeah, shut down the 275 map.
Let me land the helicopter here for a second.
Go to MJMorningShow.com right now.
Okay, morning.
And we put the story up yesterday. I want to give you the headline. Because if you have an Android or an Apple phone, right there, see that? Stop your phone from revealing secret personal details. And I don't want to get too much in the weeds, but there is something that is called MAID. And MAID, M-A-I-D, is Mobile Advertising ID. And it's an identifier. And your details are being transmitted. And keep in mind, all this data is big business. And it's a commodity to all of these online retailers, these online businesses. And this MAID, this Mobile Advertising ID, can send out your information from your phone, and you don't even know that it's doing it, but it does it. When you're online, when you're surfing, when you're using your iPhone, when you're using your Android, you're sending a whole bunch of personal data, and you don't even know. Listen to this. The information that a company can link to your MAID, this mobile advertising ID, includes your full name, physical address, phone number, email address, and potentially your IP address. And the story says that if shady data brokers are selling this information, it makes a mockery of advertisers' claims of the truckloads of data about Americans they collect that they sell as anonymous. No. So that was Senator Ron Wyden, who in a recent hearing talked about this. Now, here's the deal. You want to shut it off. You can do it. So on the iOS, the Apple operating system, on your iPhone or on your Android, and this is important, go to our website. Go to MJ and share this. Shut the data off. And we have full instructions. If you go to MJMorningShow.com, go now, or, you know, when you can safely do it, it's very easy. We have full step-by-step instructions at the very bottom of the story. So, for instance, on the bottom of the story, so go to MJMorningShow.com, MJMorningShow.com. What's the headline again? Just go to the top. Go to MJMorningShow.com and look for the headline, Stop Your Phone from Revealing Secret Personal Details. And the image is going to be just a generic stock photo of somebody. Holding a cell phone. So to shut the information of the transmission of the data off, we have a list for Apple iOS. So iPhones, you open settings, you push privacy and security, then Apple advertising. So we have the whole step-by-step on how to shut this off. And then also for Android devices, do this. You push the settings cog icon, you scroll to Google, you scroll down, and there's something called Google. Like, I have an Android. So if I go to my Android right now.
There's something called Google on your Android.
And I hit settings. It's a little cog. So I hit the cog, and then it opens up, and it says network and internet, connected devices, apps, notifications, battery storage, sound and vibration, display, wallpaper. You keep going, and near the bottom, just above system for me, is Google. And then you click on Google, and then it brings up this whole ads, and then you can opt out. So we have the instructions. We have the instructions for Apple and instructions for Android. Go to mjmorningshow.com. So what it does instead, it will, at least I believe on Android, I think it might be the same with Apple. Once you turn the settings off, they're not going to be able to get your name, your address, your phone number, your IP. So advertisers or data collectors will not be able to get this. In some cases, they'll just get a string of zeros.
Huh.
So they won't get the data. So we have all the instructions step by step on how to do this. It is on mjmorningshow.com. Shut this off. Don't transmit your personal private crap. You know, you might think that you've got other safety precautions, but very few people know about this aspect. And the full step-by-step instructions, mjmorningshow.com. That's mjmorningshow.com. And then the headline is what? Stop your device from, what was it? Just hurry, scroll up.
I'm going.
Stop your phone from revealing secret personal details. Look for that story right now, mjmorningshow.com, and then scroll to the way bottom of the story, and then the instructions are there for Apple as well as Android. This has been a public service of the MJ Morning Show here on Q105. And thank you, Kim Komando, for bringing this to my attention through your story. We're going to play a numbers game here, folks, because there are new numbers out for the Tampa Bay area. Do you know how much money a family must make to live comfortably in the Tampa Bay area?
As a whole family?
Yeah. So a brand new report came out by United Way from the Suncoast, and they have a research partner. United for Alice shows that more families in the Tampa Bay area are living paycheck to paycheck. This is a Channel 8 story that I saw.
Okay.
All right. United Way said the number of Florida households unable to afford the basics grew by more than 227,000 during the first 2 years of the COVID-19 pandemic, resulting in a total of 3,866,000 households, or 45%, struggling to afford the basics by 2021. Now, Florida has one of the highest percentages of households that are struggling to make ends meet, according to the United Way. Now, according to the numbers, to live in the Tampa Bay area, a family of four with an infant and a preschooler will have to make this to live comfortably. Do you guys have any idea what the number is?
I don't, but I'm sure it's high.
What's high?
It's more than whatever we think it is.
Should we whip out the Price is Right mountain climber?
Yeah.
I mean, Roxanne already said it's high.
All right, well, what do you think it is?
Fall off the cliff, first guess.
So, family of four, mother, father, and then, an infant and a preschooler. This doesn't even include, probably more expensive, high schoolers?
Yeah,
high schoolers. Now, I'm talking about folks that are at home.
I mean, if I had to guess a number, I'd say 65 grand.
Wow, guess what? You have not gone over the cliff yet. No, that is too low. Anybody?
68 grand.
That is too low.
I mean,
I'm going to say 85.
Wow, you're pretty darn close. You did not go over.
I would say 86.
87.
86, five?
No.
86,
no.
Eight.
87, 999.
Oh, you're getting close.
87, 990, 10.
No,
that didn't work.
No, it didn't. But 88?
It's $88,080. To live in the Tampa Bay area, a family of four with an infant and a preschooler will need to make at least $88,080 a year, according to the report.
Yeah, I mean, it's just...
So that's going to be either, what, just mom or dad working and making 88 grand a year, or
combined
salary of mom and dad working, making $88,080 a year to be able to live comfortably in the Tampa Bay area, according to this new research.
Does that include, like, healthcare? I mean, I think about the ridiculous amount of money we pay for the healthcare we have here, and, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a big chunk of change.
Yeah, I mean, I got a big chunk that goes out of my paycheck.
Yeah.
Yeah, I even opt for, like, a lower number and a higher out-of-pocket on the health plan that I take. I want health care for, like, the catastrophic stuff. You know, that's that's really what, you know, really expensive, unforeseen stuff. Hey, Froggy, didn't you have, like, a major altercation at one of your kids', like, sports events? What was that story?
Oh, yeah, it was just when I was coaching, and I got yelled at for sending a kid on a pop fly, and the guy yelled at me, and I said, "You want to get beat up in front of your whole family and your kids?" No, and then I quit the team.
Did you really?
Yeah, I quit coaching.
Wait, so you were coaching. A father yells at you because you sent his kid running?
Yeah, on a pop fly.
So he tagged up?
Yeah.
Was it a first base? You were a first
person? Well, they never catch the ball. So
hold
I was
on.
Like,
were you first base coach
yes,
or what?
Yes, first base.
All right, so he's leading.
Yeah, and they
pop
never.
Pop fly.
I was like, just run. He's not going to catch it.
Yeah, he's 5 years old.
The one
catch
time the
ball.
Kid accidentally catches it.
So that he got
and
thrown
he got
out.
Thrown out. Gotcha. And then the coach yelled at me.
The coach yelled at you?
Yeah.
Or the father yelled at you?
The coach was the father.
Oh, the coach was the father
of the
kid. All
the coaches are other parents. Right. It's a bunch of parents on this team. And Froggy's son is on this team.
So you threatened to beat him up in front of...
No, he yelled at me in front of everybody in the middle of the game. He goes, "What are you doing?"
Was it Al Pacino?
No. Hey, what are you doing?
I've had my fill of Al Pacino today.
Are you sure?
All right, so wait a minute. So you... did you, like, yell so everyone could hear?
Yeah, yeah.
What did you say?
Oh, I said... if you want to keep yelling at me like that, I hope you don't mind getting beat up in front of your kids and your entire family.
That's right.
And then I was like, I'm not going to do this anymore.
Hey, get Pat in here. Tell Pat to roll in.
Patrick.
Oh, Andrew, tell Pat to come in. Grab mic four and run that out. Anyway, the reason why I'm bringing this up, Froggy, is because, you know, there are a lot of instances. There are a lot of problems in, you know, Little League games, you know, peewee football. Yeah. And there are a lot of issues with... parents, like, getting into fights with the umpires and the refs. I mean, there are a lot of problems.
Well, we see all the craziness at, like, the fast food establishments and people acting crazy, having road rage. Why wouldn't that spill over? Why wouldn't that be happening in an arena where you're so passionate about your child's success in a sport?
Well, Froggy, let me just run this by you because there's a reason why I'm bringing this up, and I'm having you recall your incident.
Uh-huh.
In New Jersey... a town is forcing argumentative parents at Little League games to actually have to umpire for three games.
Oh,
so
that's funny.
Little League season is underway. One New Jersey town is introducing an ingenious new rule to crack down on misbehavior after parents have been caught on camera berating and yelling at refs and umpires at youth games. And it's apparently... they're going to force these parents to actually have to ref. They're going to have to...
Or umpire.
Well, it's, I guess... well, this says...
Referee or umpire, similar.
So this is Little League, so it's umpire, but they're talking about the problems at various games involving refs. You know, in football, it's a ref. In soccer, it's a ref, blah, blah, blah.
I've been to a couple of municipal fields, and they have, like, a little sign. It's like, if you don't like what you see, then volunteer, you know?
The Little League officials at the Deptford Township... in New Jersey, they have a solution. If a parent or another spectator fights with an umpire, they have to volunteer to officiate themselves for at least three upcoming games.
That's hilarious.
What do you think of that?
I like it.
Stay off the umpire's back.
All right, Pat joins us.
Hey, Patty.
Pat from our traffic department.
What do you want from me?
Do we have any word on the funeral hearse involved in the accident?
No, but I know it's still a big delay, so it should be blocking because it is not moving in front of, I guess, south of Columbus or 2001, right?
Yeah, right at 2001. So yeah. Hurricane, who worked with us for years on the MJ Morning Show, Hurricane called us earlier this hour and said, hey, I just passed an accident involving a funeral hearse in front of the 2001 Space Odyssey strip club on Dale Mabry.
Yeah, I see the backup, and I've been watching it. But there are no cameras there, so I can't see that. So we have to take what our listeners
tell
us.
There are no cameras?
No, there are no cameras on Dale Mabry.
Hold on. I thought 2001 had a live stream on.
I would love to.
Yeah, they do indoors. I'll tell you, the bigger problem is southbound on 275 at 4th Street. Two inside lanes are blocked right there because of an injury accident. Apparently, some car was going along there and had to slam on the brakes and hit the concrete median.
Oh, man, this is right 275 south.
Southbound, inside two lanes are backed up. And look at the delay. I mean, you can see on the camera.
Yeah, oh, I see. It's backed up. It's really almost backed up all the way to the Tampa side.
This will make people late for work, especially if you had a morning show and this happened at like 10 to 6.
It looks like the worst of it. Looks like the hump is like deep maroon.
That means it's crawling.
Yeah, that's crawling. So it happened at the MLK egg. So
right at the 4th Street, which is not an exit.
It's not an exit. Right. They haven't opened that back up yet.
And the vehicle, it's inside that concrete area.
So wait, the vehicle jumped over the concrete?
Well, it smashed and spun around.
Oh, my God.
Heavy damage. And when it happened, I was looking at the cameras. The airbags came out. And I could see the airbag and the person trying to push away the airbags.
Yeah, really?
No, it was
crazy.
Holy
crap. It was a mess. So there's a camera like right there?
Right there on top of it.
Wow. And Andrew's watching the jam cam now. What did you just say, Andrew? The tow truck is pulling up now?
Yes.
All right, so if you're 275 southbound and you're caught in this massive traffic jam on the Howard Franklin going south, Andrew says that he's watching the jam cam. The tow truck is pulling up now, but listen, that bridge is going to be frigged for a while. Yeah. So all those, you know what? If you're in traffic right now, lean on your horn for 10 seconds and go.
Oh. All
okay, now Pat is saying that the lanes have opened.
It's going to take another 15 minutes to get the traffic moving.
Yeah, because it's all jacked up all the way. Yeah, it's jacked up back, you know, a couple of miles, without a doubt. Oh, did you hear this? We've been talking about the Ed Sheeran deal, and Ed Sheeran up in New York is getting sued by one of Marvin Gaye's co-writers because the claim is that Ed Sheeran ripped off the Marvin Gaye song, Let's Get It On, for his song. And the family member that's suing the estate of this late Ed Townsend, this woman who's accusing Ed Sheeran of ripping off the song, the woman collapsed in court yesterday.
Oh my God.
Ed? He's got to be number one suspect. Right?
Ed had her poisoned.
Hey,
I think.
I don't know what happened to her.
So here's the update. There's this big Ed Sheeran federal copyright trial. It's happening in Manhattan right now. And the woman accusing him of ripping off Let's Get It On, the daughter of the late Ed Townsend, who co-wrote Let's Get It On with Marvin Gaye, fainted in the Manhattan courtroom just as Ed Sheeran's attorneys began cross-examining a music expert testifying about the song's composition. So listen to this. Townsend Griffin, who claims that Sheeran's 2014 hit Thinking Out Loud lifted parts of her father's song, was leaving the courtroom and apparently went down, collapsed in a thud. She was lifted by her arms and legs by a few men in the gallery, got medical attention, was taken out of court on a stretcher. Oh, my God. Talk about some drama in the courtroom.
So did the judge take a break? We're going to have a, what do they call it?
A recess.
A recess.
Yeah. Intermission.
Yeah.
Anyway. It's not an intermission. It's not a movie.
It sounds more fun, though, doesn't it?
It's not a play.
Go enjoy some popcorn during the intermission. We'll be back soon.
They sell popcorn at the courthouse?
They do.
What?
Do they have devil dogs? Or deviled eggs?
Yeah.
No.
Devil crabs. That's what I want.
And then they accused Ed Sheeran of stealing this music from Law and Order.
I wrote this, I swear to God.
I played it on my guitar.
Yeah. We did play the demo a couple of times this week. If you want to hear it, here it is. So this is the comparison, and it's unbelievable. This is a back-and-forth comparison. It starts with Ed Sheeran's song, Thinking Out Loud, and then it morphs several times back and forth into Let's Get It On by Marvin Gaye. Listen.
Baby, my
right into Marvin Gaye. Man, it's pretty seamless.
Heart could still fool us.
I mean, you couldn't even tell.
Heart at 23.
You couldn't even tell when it went from Ed to Marvin, then Marvin back to Ed.
And I'm thinking about how.
Come on. Oh! I mean, that's like seamless. And Ed is saying, well, it's a very common chord progression. It is.
It is.
But you can have a chord progression without it sounding like the exact same song. That's the issue here. And then the lady collapses, and you can see she's being taken out on a stretcher in the middle of the trial.
They have her covered as she's being wheeled across the sidewalk.
Oh, yeah. She's on one of those yellow striker stretchers being taken out by, NY or FDNY EMTs.
Would it kill Ed to comb his hair?
It's not what I do.
Right.
For court.
I'm too busy writing music.
You're too busy stealing it from Marvin Gaye.
and Ed Townsend.
Yeah, Ed. Yeah.
That's what I call writing.
Ed stole from Ed.
8:48 at the MJ Morning Show. Let's take a quick break. We've got another long chunk of the MJ Morning Show coming up in just a bit. We've got an image that you've got to see. Well, actually, it's several images. It is crazy. Hey, Andrew, did you get the pictures up that I said we needed? Okay, get those up now, because there is a celebrity lookalike that had such bizarre surgery done that apparently it killed her. But you have got to see these images. Now,
talking about the Lizzo lookalike?
No. Oh. No. It's Kim Kardashian.
Oh.
There is a woman that tried so hard to look like Kim Kardashian. She had surgeries.
So
that
sad.
It distorted her unbelievably, and she's dead. This young woman, 34 years old, is dead. All right, we got to tell you the whole story. You got to hear this. You got to see the images. We'll bring you the whole deal. And a whole lot more next on the MJ Morning Show here on Q105. Stand by.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
Thursday. All right. 9 o'clock at the MJ Morning Show.
Thank God it's Thursday. That's the old Dragnet clip.
So, yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me tell you. I got a little text.
I mentioned that I have to talk about this woman that had all kinds of crazy plastic surgery, but Roxanne's like holding up her hand like there's something more urgent. So hold on. What is it?
So one of our listeners knows that you're traveling and knows that you and Michelle travel a lot. And she was like, MJ should do the fractional jet programs. And her husband flies for one. He flies for Jetit. And so they do like he flies the Honda jets. Uh-huh. And so anyways, I told her that I would tell you to look into it.
Well, I think it's a matter of economics that I can fly to BDL, which we're flying to tomorrow. We're flying to the Windsor Locks, Connecticut. That's, Bradley. It's the Hartford, Connecticut airport. and I can fly up there and back. Michelle and I can, you know, fly up for about $600.
Okay.
Round trip. And
yeah, what would a fractional jet be to Connecticut and back?
Probably $15,000, $20,000.
Yeah, but it's almost right to the, to go that distance. I think they're better for shorter. I don't know, for shorter distance, maybe.
They're it's much more expensive than me buying a.
It's like you buy like a country club membership almost, and then you get to use it up, and you can let other people use it too.
You know,
sounds expensive.
It is expensive, relatively speaking. It is expensive, and you know, I'm flying up Delta with Michelle tomorrow to Connecticut, and then I think we're flying back on Southwest. I think we got like $99 fares coming back from Connecticut to Tampa on Southwest nonstop.
Are you sure you wouldn't like a $9,000 fare on a private jet?
I think I'll stick with my $99 tickets. It was like $104.99, something like that.
I hear you. It was just a.
I think I'll stick with that. Yeah. But no, listen, I appreciate the listener. Mm-hmm. And there is going to be a certain clientele that's going to, you know, fork over $10,000, $12,000, $15,000, $20,000. For a private jet. However, I'm comfortable with our $600 round trip for both of us.
So I've always heard there's a really nice side of Connecticut and a really disgusting side of Connecticut.
Yeah.
South is like the disgusting side.
Well, listen.
I heard it's beautiful.
Bridgeport is like almost like a burned out, you know, Bridgeport. If you take Amtrak through Bridgeport and you look around, it's like, oh my God, what the hell's going on here?
You go and train.
Yeah. Listen, there are parts of Hartford that aren't particularly nice either.
What about Bristol?
Bristol's nice. That's where ESPN is. And that's, you know, that's not far from where my son goes to school. So we've actually stayed in Bristol. We've stayed right next to ESPN, actually. There's a big hotel, and there's like the big Otis elevator test towers there as well, where they test like a 30-story like test tower where they test elevators for Otis.
That's where the Titan Towers are as well.
I don't think so.
The home of WWE.
Is that true?
Yes.
It's also.
No. That's in Stamford, Connecticut.
I said Connecticut, yeah.
Yeah, but not Bristol.
Oh.
Yeah, because you see the WWE headquarters right off of I-95 when you're driving through Stamford, Connecticut.
Bristol is the home of Aaron Hernandez, hometown.
Again.
Ooh. You mean the murdering patriot?
Yes.
Great.
The psycho patriot that was murdering people on the side?
Correct.
While playing in the NFL?
Allegedly.
Well, that's a little
nutty. Not allegedly. He was convicted.
No, it's not allegedly. He was convicted for killing one guy, but then he was suspected in multiple other murders.
Yeah.
He
was a part-time murderer.
Yeah,
is what he was. I mean, just a crazy story. All right, so where the hell was I? So thank you for the thank you to our texter and listener regarding fractional jet. But Michelle and I, listen.
Now, if you got a coupon code, it's a different story.
We buy the cheapest coach ticket typically, and if I get upgraded, I get upgraded. Listen, with Southwest, I'm not getting upgraded. I'm not buying A-list. I'll just, you know, hopefully I'll sign in. I'll get into the A boarding group. But like with Delta, I buy the cheapest ticket and, you know, fingers crossed for an upgrade. So we already got upgraded to, we bought cheap coach tickets and we already got upgraded to Comfort Plus on Delta tomorrow. And then we're looking good maybe for an even better upgrade from the Atlanta to Connecticut portion. But again, I buy cheap, and if I get upgraded, I get upgraded. So that's the way I'm rolling right now. But I do appreciate the listener making the suggestion. Now, if they have a 95% off discount coupon,
seriously,
you know, because the husband's the pilot, then I might take a look at that.
A friends and family package.
That's what I'm looking at. Friends and family.
That's right.
All right, folks, you have got to take a look at Christina Ashton Gorkani, who was a Kim Kardashian lookalike, and I say was. She was also an OnlyFans model. I say was because she is dead at 34 years old.
Oh, my God.
Christina Ashton Gorkani, OnlyFans model, known for her striking resemblance to Kim Kardashian, has died, according to her family. Fundraising post is up. GoFundMe is up. The family of Gorkani said she died April 20th after suffering cardiac arrest in the early morning hours of approximately 4:31 a.m. on 4/20/23. Our family received a tragic phone call from a family member who was frantically screaming and crying on the other end of the line. Ashton is dying. Ashton is dying. a phone call that instantly shattered our world will forever haunt our family for the rest of our lives. The family said they arrived at the hospital where Gorkhani's condition was deteriorating, and she died that day. Now, listen, this is sad. I feel awful. The family's trying to raise 40 grand for a memorial service. Well, listen, how much money's in her OnlyFans account? I mean, I'm sure she made a lot of money.
Not every one of these OnlyFans people make a lot of money. It's a very, very, very small percentage.
All right. Now, here's where I just have to be honest. I feel awful that she has passed away, but she did insane things to her body to the point where, did she go to like foreign countries to get this plastic surgery done? Go to MJMorningShow.com.
Okay.
Andrew has posted some pictures. Go to MJMorningShow.com, and then in stories mentioned, we've got a couple of links. And Roxanne, lean on over to Fester's computer so you can see this. I scroll down a little bit. All right. Kim Kardashian lookalike. Hit the, there are two of them. Hit the second one. Hit the New York Post.
This one?
No. Right. All right. Let me take the mouse.
What line do you want?
Right here. All right. Okay. So.
It's a date.
All right. So I want you to see. I want you to see these images. Let me get to the main story here. Let me click the story. And you've got to see how distorted this body is.
Is that for real? That does not even look like it's real.
Look at this image.
It looks like it's CGI.
What is going on here, Froggy?
No, that can't be real.
Look at,
where's her organs?
Right.
There is a picture. If you click on the New York Post link. Hey, can you do me a favor, Andrew? You've got the link to their Twitter. Just put
the link to the story.
You have to click on the Twitter to then go to the story.
Is covering her entire waist.
Okay. All right. Anyway.
How could a doctor do this to her?
I don't know. But there's one particular picture I want you to see. It's on the New York Post article. Again, it's MJMorningShow.com. Stories mentioned. So top of the page, look for stories mentioned, and then click on it. Go to the New York Post piece, and it's the second picture down. So second,
You mean the one when she's walking across the street?
There are a couple of videos, and there's an image of her walking across the street. It looks like she's in Manhattan is what it looks like. And it looks like something out of a cartoon.
It does. It looks like, I would say Jessica Rabbit, but she was very
It's an enormous fake butt.
There is a gigantic butt that's sticking like 2 feet out behind her.
And then gigantic boobs sticking out the same amount of feet in front of her.
And then this waist that's the size of like a drinking straw.
Right.
And there are like two protrusions in the front where her boobs are. And then the butt, it looks like a contorted, distorted, it looks cartoonish. It's like, are you kidding me? And it's a real photo, apparently, and it's bizarre. And you want to know why this woman has passed away? Look what they did to her body. Look what she did to her body.
That is ridiculous.
It is. That's why I'm like, come on.
I mean,
what did she die from, like, exactly, though?
Yeah.
Well, we don't know.
It just looks painful. Everything, like, her boobs just look painful. The silicone is just popping out of her skin.
Now, her butt looks really comfortable. To be able to sit down on that all the time, it's like bringing your own,
Charmin
mind pillow around.
I can't believe that a U.S.-based doctor did this. This looks like it's the kind of crap that you go to, Brazil to have done. Or, Mexico.
There's a lot of Brazilian butt lifts going around these days.
Yeah.
This is insane. And there's a whole gallery of pictures. And if you want to see what we're talking about, just go to MJMorningShow.com and then click on Stories Mentioned, and then it's the top item right now.
I have a question.
Yes.
And Froggy just brought up BBLs. Are the butts going to fall eventually? Because they haven't been around long enough to really see what they're going to look like 10 years from now, right? Yeah. Enough of them. But now they're circulating enough. Is gravity going to take them down after X amount of time, the butts I'm talking. Because I know the boobs come down.
Yeah.
When you're.
I got to imagine the butts coming down as well.
It's all coming down. Coming down, downtown.
But this woman obviously had some mental issues.
Because I don't think that you do this to your body unless you have some psychological issues.
No, there used to be an MTV show like where they made normal people look like celebrities.
Yeah, but they didn't like make their butts look like two beach balls.
Listen, her face looks like Kim Kardashian. The body is out of control. It is
in a bad way.
It is. It is not in a good way. 100%. Not in a good way at all. Hey, guess who was seen out in the wild?
Who?
Guess who was spotted? The $2 billion man. Actually, is the $997.6 million man. And then after federal taxes, more like the, I think, $460 million man.
Old Edwin Castro?
Yep. Yep. Appropriately enough, there's a picture of Edwin Castro walking out of a Chase Manhattan bank or a Chase bank out in California. Yep. This is the California resident that won the biggest lottery prize, I think, in the history of the world.
Yeah.
I think it was. I don't think anywhere else has there been a bigger jackpot than the $2 billion Powerball jackpot. Remember, it was sold last, November? And then it took until, February for him to come forward? He's already purchased, two houses. He bought one house in the Hollywood Hills for, $25 million.
That's it?
Then he bought a second house for, $5 or $6 million.
What else is he going to do with half $1 billion?
Well, he's walking out of a Chase bank. And he's just wearing flip-flops. He's got an Under Armour shirt on. And,
yeah, good for him.
Yeah. What if he's married? What if he has a girlfriend? I'm sure, all of his relatives and friends, they're all, coming out of the woodwork.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. So he was spotted. Did you see a picture of him, Pester?
I didn't see him walking out of the bank.
Yeah, there's a picture of him walking out of the bank.
But good for him, man. Yep.
What if he needs a bodyguard?
What if he needs a best friend? Call me, dude. I'm loaded with jokes.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, he grew up in Altadena, California. He lived in a small one-bedroom house. I mean, is this the kind of deal where you win this large lottery jackpot and then you give it a couple of years and you're broke?
I don't think you'll be broke. I mean,
he's walking
this
out
much.
Of Chase Bank.
Yeah.
He had an envelope of cash, too. It's like, dude, why are you walking out with an envelope of cash in your hand walking out of a bank?
Because he uses it to light his cigarettes. I mean, that's why he's so rich.
He's using it to wipe his butt.
Seriously.
What he's doing with it. But certainly crazy story.
Yeah, do you have any softer $100 bills? Yeah. I'm going to use it for my butt.
Yes, I want $100 bills as soft as Charmin. I would like $100 bills printed on Charmin.
Can you take these crisp ones back? They just don't work as well. I need some really, really weathered hundos, please.
I want to talk about an item, and I mentioned this earlier in the show. I talked about something I wanted to get into, and it was from my ride-along last weekend. So last Saturday, I rode along with the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office, and I was riding along with Master Sergeant Jeff Catlin, and we're tooling down. Maybe we're on Causeway or something. Anyway, we're out in D5, District 5, and we're at a traffic light, and, we look ahead. There's a car in front, and, the police always scan license plates. You look for plates. You run the plates. You look to see if the registration stickers are expired. Anyway, there was this, I think it was a Honda, and the license plate was nearly 2 years expired.
Oh.
Yeah. So the registration sticker had an expiration date of July of 21.
It's been a while.
A while. Yeah. At some point, your luck is going to run out, and you're going to get pulled over. And this young woman's luck ran out on Saturday. So, gets pulled over. You run the plate. You find out that also the driver is operating without a valid license. Driver license suspended.
To no one's surprise.
So, the registration's expired. The vehicle should not be on the road. The driver has a suspended license. And so it's just bad all the way around. So light them up, pull the car over, and it's a young woman. She's like 24 years old. And, she's cooperative. She's a sweet, young woman to the best that I can tell. And then, as he went to the car and she reaches in to grab her license, a whole Ziploc baggie of pot comes out of the purse right in front of my buddy, the Hillsborough County deputy. So well, your car has a two-year-old expired plate. You're driving with a suspended license. You reach in to get your license, which is no good. And a Ziploc baggie filled with bud with pot comes out.
So what was going to happen to this person before the pot made itself known?
Anyway, laws changed. So a couple of years ago, I think I've been on stops, similar situation. They're arrested. So they're actually cuffed and stuff taken away, cars impounded. In this particular case, there's more to the story. Yeah. That's why I'm getting to the story here. So this young woman, you know, starts with a sob story, and she was a nice, sweet young woman, and she's like, I got bills, I can't get ahead, when I pay off one thing, something else happens, and they want there's like hundreds and hundreds of dollars due, she's got to pay, I guess, some back fines and everything, so it's a fortune to get her license reinstated, it's a lot of money to get her car registered to try to sort out her life, right? But the point is, she had like $200 or $300 worth of marijuana, come on. I tell you what, how about you quit buying hundreds, if not thousands of dollars worth of marijuana, and then you can get your license taken care of, you can get your license plate taken care of, your registration taken care of.
And then you go back to the marijuana. I mean, we're not telling you to give it up forever, we're just saying get it.
Well, listen, I don't recommend it, okay?
Priorities.
But anyway, priorities is the right word. You know, you're complaining and you're crying about, not having enough money and you're behind the eight ball, and then you got a couple of hundred, $250, $300 worth of marijuana in your car. Because there was marijuana in the purse, and then there was another bag of marijuana found like in the center console. And So
was she arrested?
No, because the vehicle, the marijuana was impounded.
Okay.
It wasn't enough. It wasn't distribution level crap.
Should give it a very stern warning.
That would be a different story.
Was the vehicle impounded?
The vehicle, they could not drive, and they called a relative with a valid license to pick up the vehicle and then get it off the road.
Good.
Because it can't be driven with the expired tag. But I guess they live close by, so just get someone that can drive it and get the vehicle home and get it off the road, and don't get out there again until you get it taken care of. But the laws changed a little bit on like suspended license and the expired tag. So now, I guess statute wise, it's not arrestable as it had been in the past.
I mean, assuming this person does have a legitimate financial hardship, I mean, getting arrested is not going to help any of that. Impounding your car is not going to help any of that. So I'm glad to see the Hillsborough County deputy did the right thing.
But that's law. That's the way the law works. But also, stop buying hundreds of dollars worth of marijuana and get your life in order. And then, once you got all that in order, and if you want to go back to your recreational pot use, well, I guess that's your prerogative.
Baby steps.
Baby step suggestions from the MJ Morning Show here on Q105. So we got to say go Lightning because it's do or die tonight in Toronto. We got a lot of loose ends. I'm not going to be here tomorrow because I got to head out early because we've got my son's final parents weekend before he graduates in early June from high school. So we got to head up to Connecticut to his boarding school. So I got a lot of things I want to get to before we shut things down. Of course, tomorrow we'll have a great best of show. Andrew, have you put it together yet? Is it all formulated, tomorrow's best of? And what is the range of material? From what era are we going to be playing an assortment of material? Give me a range.
Over the past year, maybe a little more than a year ago.
Okay, good.
To within maybe a couple of months.
All right, so pull material that people haven't heard ever or haven't heard, obviously, in a long time. But I want to get a couple of things in live, and we got the final chunk of the MJ Morning Show next here on Q105. Stand by.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos. Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
MJ Morning Show, Q105, 932, and the final minutes of the MJ Morning Show. So I get an email from a where's Froggy? I need Froggy here to discuss this because it involves you and Froggy. So
I don't know where Froggy is. I'm not quite sure where Roxanne is.
Right, so right now it's the MJ Morning Show with just me and Fester.
All right, let's get down to some jokes. Let's do it.
I mean, is it too much to ask that the whole crew is assembled when we're back on the air live? I don't think it's asking too much. I don't think I'm being too demanding.
As a crew, we've decided to allow one person to miss a segment per show.
No, we don't. What do you make
it? Roxanne wants to take off the 7 o'clock segment.
That is completely false.
No, we decided without you.
This was a decision made outside of my...
Unfortunately, Froggy and Roxanne both chose to take off the last segment today, so... All right. They'll be back. Yeah. They'll be back.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be back in a minute. They're just Froggy's probably out dubbing. And, you know, Roxanne, I don't know what she's doing. No, I have an email that I need you and Froggy in the room for. Because it's like a reminiscing email.
Get in here, Froggy.
Like, hey, we've been back for like 2 minutes. Can I get you?
No.
It's been more like 90 seconds.
That's what I said. 90 seconds. All
right, so I get an email, and I need you here for this. I get an email.
Right here, buddy.
Can you ask Fester and Froggy if they remember when they tried to start their own pizza business?
Oh, Dom and Nose?
Dom and Nose Pizza, yeah.
And that they got a cease and desist from the Domino's lawyers?
Yes. Oh, yeah, that's right. We do. I still have the sign up in my office.
Can you believe that it was essentially a radio bit and Domino's lawyers really sent a cease and desist?
We created a...
We had a logo.
A logo that looked a lot like theirs.
Yeah, and it had my nose on it.
And
I think I have a picture
of
it.
No, we never delivered a pizza. We never baked a pizza. Right. We never had boxes printed.
The whole deal was that Fester's real first name is Dominic, so Dom. And then Froggy has a pretty big... Nose.
Oh.
And so it was Dom and Nose. So DOMANDNOSE. Dom and Nose. Domino's Pizza. And Domino's got all, because we put an image of the logo. We had a logo design.
We put it everywhere.
Oh, it was great.
Everywhere that we could.
And then Domino's. Domino's attorneys, Domino's corporate, like out of Michigan or something, wherever the hell they were, they send a cease and desist.
It's like from Gipsilani or something like that.
That we're about to, confuse the marketplace?
Infringe on their
copyrights.
Proprietors.
And we were going to cause confusion in the marketplace. Yeah, the MJ Morning Show with Fester's Dom and Froggy's big big nose.
Well, you were right on both fronts.
I was going to say schlong of a nose. Oh. Can you believe that Domino, really? I mean, I meant to say schnoz.
Yeah, schnoz. Schnoz and schlong.
Not schlong, but schnoz.
They both have an S-C-H. Yeah.
MJ Morning Show listener and emailer. The guys clearly remember Dom and Nose Pizza.
I think it was Dom in Nose, just an N, because I still have the sign up in my office.
Take a picture of it. Put it up. Send me the picture today. I don't know if I still have that. I still have the blimp and shrimp banner.
Ooh. We didn't infringe on anything there, though, did we?
No, we didn't.
Yeah.
We didn't offend any really, really obese and midget moving companies.
God, I wish I had that jingle.
How do you not have
I
that?
I don't know. It's probably on the hard drive because when we left the MJ Morning Show at Clear Channel, then iHeart, I don't know if they were iHeart at the time, but when we left,
they weren't.
I got an entire hard drive, like 2 terabytes of all of our audio files, but they're not labeled. So I have to go through, and I'm not even a fraction through this, and I've spent probably hundreds of hours going through the hard drive and just labeling like all of our audio bytes. I'm erasing a lot of junk, like the daily audio of some clip of some celebrity on Access Hollywood from February of 2009. I don't need that audio bite. So I've been going through the hard drive, and I've got the master. Then I got a working drive. I copied it, and I'm slowly going through it, and I'm finding a lot of good old MJ Morning Show stuff. But it's gonna take freaking years.
Did you hire somebody to do it? Well, I remember how it went. It went blimp and shrimp moving. There's room for improving.
Was it?
But they're really, really, really cheap, and they have a truck. So let them move your favorite stuff.
If you don't give them.
That should have been it.
Can't you hire a virtual assistant in India or something?
That would be a... No, but the issue is also listening to the audio bites. I'm going to hear things, and it's going to trigger things that if I have somebody do it, it's not going to be the same.
Wow.
So that's part of the issue. But also, is Blimp and Shrimp Moving, is that a conflict with our sponsor, Two College Brothers?
We were absorbed by Two College Brothers. There's a hostile takeover. We got a bear hug from Wade, and he took over our company.
There's a little update on Jamie Foxx.
Oh, my gosh. This is so sad.
It's weird. There's a story that came out that Jamie Foxx was non-responsive and had to be brought back to life. Jamie Foxx is still being hospitalized in Atlanta?
What's the matter with this guy?
And again, they're not saying what was the medical emergency, what happened to actor Jamie Foxx, that now reports are that he was actually unresponsive for a few minutes and had to be resuscitated. Yeah, there's a report from Radar Online confirms the information. They spoke to an insider who's close to Jamie Foxx. Shocking details. Jamie Foxx was revealed to have high blood pressure. The stress he felt during the days prior to the incident were direct influence in his problem. But again,
he had a stroke.
What was the, you think so?
Yeah, that's what I heard from people who know him.
Oh, really? Uh-huh. Well, why didn't you share this with us?
Because I didn't know. I thought that was public information.
No, that's nowhere.
You didn't share it because you thought it was public
information.
No, because
who do you know? Derek?
No, it's not him.
Who do you know that knows Jamie Foxx?
Yeah. Who do you know that knows Jamie Foxx?
I know somebody who's in business with him.
Who?
You guys don't know him.
Okay, so what does it matter?
What's the name?
His name is Michael.
Yeah, sure.
Michael J. Foxx? Business with Jamie Foxx?
So you heard that Jamie Foxx had a stroke?
Yeah.
Well, that's fresh.
That's breaking.
I haven't seen that anywhere.
Yeah.
Fessa, type in Jamie Foxx. So hospital and type in stroke.
So all it says is here, high blood pressure, which doctors say can cause blood clots in the brain, leading to a stroke. But it's not saying that he had one. It's saying what high blood pressure is a symptom of or a precursor to.
Just got a text. Jamie Foxx had a stroke. They're covering it up. I know him. I've been talking to his family.
They're covering it up?
Hold on.
What? Who's that?
Hold on. You got a text on our text line at 800-990-1047?
Roxanne even covered her phone, the top half of it, so I can't see who it's from. Oh.
Stop looking at my phone.
I'm looking at you. You're sitting right next to me. I'm not looking at your phone.
Well, hold on. The text was on your phone?
So somebody sent her a text on her personal phone, and she took a sheet of paper, and she covered up the top half of it so I couldn't see the front page.
Wait, it's not the text line. It's not.
Yeah, I thought it was a text line.
It's your private text line.
So who sent you a private text?
Somebody who obviously knows her well enough to have her number.
And knows Jamie Foxx well enough.
And they're listening right now.
Different person than the one who originally told me. Both of them gentlemen. Those are the only clues I will give.
Okay, fine. So
they're not jerks?
Might be a stroke. Jamie Foxx might have had a stroke.
Tell Michael Jordan I said, what's up?
How old is Jamie Foxx?
Let's see.
55 years old.
Okay.
55.
There you go. He's his birthday's December 13th.
Anyway, still a big mystery. There is a nutty story. Another one of these items that happens here in Florida, and in this case, right here in the Tampa Bay area. And that makes people think that everyone in Florida is out of their freaking minds. Did you see the woman here in Pinellas that shot her parrot and killed the bird?
Dude, I used to have a bird when I was a kid. I wanted to shoot that thing.
All right,
it was
come on.
So loud, and it was like...
This drunk woman shot their pet bird with a Glock.
Ouch.
So here in the Tampa Bay area, the handgun was used... While inside a residence, a Florida woman shot and killed her pet parrot with a Glock handgun and then fought with her husband, according to the police. arrested the whole couple earlier this week. Police say that anyone know Suzanne Mullally?
Oh, Suzanne Mullally.
Oh, Sue.
Suzanne Mullally, 62 years old, was intoxicated when she killed her African gray parrot with a .380 caliber handgun.
Oh, no, MJ, that was close to your heart.
Guess where in Pinellas County it happened?
Largo?
Yes. Largo, baby.
Largo is the African gray parrot capital of Pinellas County.
So, shot the bird, argues with the husband, all happened in Largo. After Mullally murdered the bird, she said that her spouse exited the home and began arguing and pushing each other, according to the criminal complaints, which notes that a witness watched the couple fighting. Additionally, Mullally doused Stephen, who reportedly was also drunk, with water from a spray bottle.
Whoa.
Mullally and her husband were both charged with domestic battery, a misdemeanor, booked into the Pinellas County Jail. They were released from custody on Tuesday, ordered by a judge to have no contact. I'm looking at the mugshot of Mullally. She was also ordered to have no contact with animals. Mullally, whose Glock was seized by police, has not yet been charged with the connection to the animal killing. But I'm guessing that the Pinellas state attorney, I'm guessing they're going to charge her with, what, animal cruelty for shooting and killing the African gray. That is disgusting. A harmless parrot? And African grays are among the smartest of the parrots.
Let's hope the African gray's family can find justice for their bird.
They started a Go Bird Me account.
Do they give the name of the bird?
What kind of bird? I had a cockatoo.
Cockatoo. You had a cockatoo.
You got cockatiels. You got cockatoos.
No, I had a
cockatiel.
You had a cockadoodle-doo.
I had a cockatiel.
Cockatiel. The little one.
Yeah, I had a little cockatiel. Right, gotcha. He was a pain in the ass.
All right. So, in late February, the police also responded to their Largo property, receiving a report that a firearm was discharged in the backyard during a verbal altercation. What is the matter with these people? Mullally was handcuffed, taken into custody after a brief struggle with police, and she sounds like a dream woman. But she was only charged with resisting police. That was a misdemeanor, and then prosecutors did not pursue that case. An officer who investigated the reported backyard shooting noted that there were numerous loaded firearms in plain view inside the residence in Largo. What a mess. That's awful. Killing the African gray parrot, really? A harmless little parrot?
And the bird, the poor bird, tried to reason with her. It's like, drop the gun.
Stop. All right, Fester, come on.
Drop the gun.
Fester, please. Come on.
Fester, that's so funny.
Drop the gun.
That's the way to end the week right there, huh, MJ?
Don't do it.
All right, so best of tomorrow. Andrew's got great material. See, the way we do our best ofs, we follow the format, so it's the same times that we break. You get the same lengths of our segments.
Follow the format. I can do it all day.
The point I'm trying to make is that a lot of people, you don't even know we're doing a best of, and we play material that you haven't heard, so you'll be entertained nevertheless. And I'm going to head up to Connecticut with Michelle for Parents Weekend at my son's boarding school.
Parent Weekend?
Parent Weekend at the school.
Parents Weekend.
Oh. We're all proud of you, Julian.
And Julian graduates in about a month. So this is the last Parents Weekend. So, you know, going to be special. All right. Anything else before we get out of here?
Nothing else.
All right, stop.
No.
Thank you. Ow.
That's great. All I need is Al Pacino and the parrot now.
That's a movie. Al and the parrot. Yeah. Al Pacino.
Yeah, you're a cute little guy.
Stop.
This show's had a bird theme today.
Yeah. I'm going to give these guys the bird in 2 seconds.
Shooting the bird, and then the birds in the plane, and now this, Fester. Yeah.
Lots of birds. Fester, I'm going to hit you. All right. We're going to have a battery charge right here. St. Pete Police are going to be responding to our studios any minute. All right, folks, have a great day today. We'll do best of tomorrow. Listen, you'll like it. Then next week, we'll have more details on the giveaway. We will be, we're not starting it next week, but very shortly, we're starting the tablet tag again and giving away 40 Microsoft Surface Pro 8 tablets, which is incredible. 40. Have a great day. We'll see you back here on Monday Live, best of tomorrow on the MJ Morning Show on Q105. You need to email me, MJ@MJMorningShow.com, and let's be careful out there.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.